I rise today in support of my amendment to defund the National Endowment of Democracy. We've learned that this organization has engaged in global censorship, domestic propaganda, and regime change politics. It has worked to crush populist movements, fuel color revolutions, and run off-the-books operations with plausible deniability.
Hardworking Americans shouldn't be forced by their government to contribute to causes that they find repugnant. And yet, stunningly, 81 Republican members of the House of Representatives voted with all the Democrats tonight to keep that funding stream going.
Raw, unfiltered treason, and why that is, becomes apparent when we reveal the architects behind this soft coup. Investigations spearheaded by Data Republican and Mike Benz have ripped the veil off of the new pluralists.
This is CIA Director Bill Casey. Obviously, we, the CIA, should not get out in front of the development of such an organization, nor do we wish to appear to be a sponsor or advocate. Nevertheless, the need appears real, and I believe our national fabric for dealing with many issues and problems be well served by the creation of NED.
Led in part by figures like Stephen Hines, president of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, Hines spilled the beans, laying out their blueprint to reinvent American governance from the ground up through the new pluralists.
We went on a listening tour, and we listened to Americans in 50 communities across this country in very diverse settings and with very divergent points of view. And we came away from that convinced that our democracy needs not only to be reformed, but really in a way reinvented, reimagined for the kinds of challenges we face in the 21st century.
That unholy 2017 alliance of Soros, Koch, Rockefeller, Ford, and other elite foundations pumping billions into a so-called bridging divides scam.
We have proof that Ned actually was a part of deplatforming President Trump, which I don't think the president would take kindly to Republicans supporting this efforts.
Let me tell you where your tax dollars are really going. Where they have been going is to pressure advertisers to demonetize and suppress American political speech by naming the 10 riskiest sites to include the New York Post, the Federalist, Newsmax, The Blaze, The Daily Wire, Rio Clear Politics, Reason, One American News Network, The American Spectator, and the American Conservative. Mr. Speaker, 98% of the political donations coming from the National Endowment for Democracy go to the Democrat Party. This is your taxpayer dollars paying for socialists and communists to subvert the American system.
What sounds like feel-good civic education, national service, election reform, and trusted information is really a full-spectrum soft coup. A coup infiltrating schools to crush populism.
We also partner with institutions at Stanford and more than 100 organizations working on the front lines of this national challenge.
The real problem here is when Trump won in 2016, this same foreign policy establishment that was set up in large part to wage the Cold War found a new global menace, which was the global rise of populist parties.
You suddenly have an entire sort of industry of open source intelligence analysts emerge who some of them then go to work for platforms directly. Some found their own research groups. Some are based in universities. Some work in the private sector, some of the nonprofit, but they're all hunting for, you know, online, you know, disinformation campaigns, troll farms, just other forms of digital propaganda.
This engineered uniparty convergence shreds the old left-right lines to serve supranational overlords, targeting outfits like Turning Point USA as threats, cozying up across the aisle for technocratic priorities like social justice mandates and centralized information warfare, and quietly capturing institutions in a slow-motion subversive overthrow where Congress is wielded like a disposable tool. Time is slowly running out to wake up before their $33 billion a year, 215,000 employee machine dismantles the last shreds of American sovereignty in favor of a managed post-populist dystopia, commonly known as the New World Order. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
G-Man. All the free-flowing methylene blue is now mine.
No way, you evil scum. Methylene blue is for everyone.
Order Methylene Blue at the AlexJonesStore.com.
We're gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at the AlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all on board with us today. A lot happening over the weekend that we're going to catch you up on, of course. So it's good to have you all with us. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you had a non-violent weekend. I hope you didn't attend any protests. But if you were attending church services, you actually might have been interrupted by left-wing terrorists looking to take over the church with their obnoxious Marxist rhetoric. We'll get to that story in just a little bit. But we've got an incredible lineup of two independent journalists joining the show today, and I'm very excited about this. Ken Silva will be joining the program because he's breaking down a lot of stories over at Headline USA. But specifically, he's been following the ADL to see what they're up to these days. As many of you guys know, the FBI director said that they were no longer working with the ADL. But the ADL seems to say there's like an avenue of communication where they're turning over communications of what people say on social media straight to the agency. Now, obviously, we've been waiting to see what the details of that are. I have not seen the FBI respond to those claims, but we'll get to that with Ken in just a bit. I'll also be joined by Jorge Ventura. Many of you guys are probably like, where's that guy been? He spent some time over the corporate media world, and he's jumping back onto the independent journalism side of things, and it'll be exciting news to have him on the program today. It's been a long time since I've been able to catch up my good friend, and he's been on the ground in Minneapolis. And it's been a brutal one. I think he said it's like zero right now over Minneapolis. And it's also very windy. So he's doing his best to keep the heat in Minneapolis. But Jorge Ventura will be joining us in just a bit. He also was outside that hotel, which apparently was telling federal agents to get on up out of here. So he'll bring us the latest report on that. So a lot to discuss. But let's bring things to home base because, folks, Nick Sorter, everyone knows Nick Sorter has a Sunday show on InfoWars. He is a great human being, an ally in this fight, and he doesn't really back down. Well, Nick Sorter found himself in kind of a bit of a scruffle when a left-wing terrorist decided to steal his camera. We're going to play that clip for you in a little bit. I just want to remind our audience, though, I don't know if you saw the headlines popping up all over the web. 1,500 active duty service members are being prepared to potentially be deployed to Minnesota. So just keep that in mind. If you're wondering why that is, well, then in clip one, we're going to make it very, very obvious because Nick Sorter has been getting repeatedly assaulted by these left-wing terrorists. And one of them decided to, and just so happens to look like a Somalian woman, possibly, or I shouldn't assume the gender, Somalian person, went up to Nick Sorter and grabbed his phone while he was in his vehicle. The video is infuriating. Take a listen.
Hey, what did she just do?
Okay, it's okay.
She took Nick's camera. She just stole Nick's camera.
Let's get her.
No,
get in the camera.
Give her
the camera.
Just tell her to give him the camera back.
Not even. Give him the camera.
What happened, Nick?
They just stole my camera.
Right out of your hand while you're in the car?
That's what you wanted, right?
That's what you did.
Man, listen, motherfucker. Get the fuck out of here.
My daughter.
Coward. Mom. Where the fuck are you
you a coward.
You have to leave.
Did you call 911?
Did anybody call 911?
Have Kevin do it.
We got it all on video.
We're not Nazis.
Yeah, Nazi.
We're not Nazis and we're not racist. Damn Hitler. I'm not racist. I condemn all racism.
God,
I condemn all racism.
Why are you here?
We were driving through and we got followed. You guys followed us.
No, we're following you. Who are you?
It doesn't matter. We're allowed to be here. It's the United States of America. Why do we have to leave? We're not leaving until we get the camera. You want us to leave? Give us the camera. Call your friend. Get the camera back.
And we'll leave.
But yet you're treating him like this. Why? Racism can go both ways.
Yeah, racism could go both ways. And they are exactly that. A bunch of racist hacks on the streets, thieves as well. The FBI saying that they're on it, whatever that means. I'm sure they will get to the bottom of this. But the reality of it is we got the plates. There is a person of interest, I should say, that social media has flagged. Now I'll spare you of her face in case it's not the actual person. Cause you gotta just be careful with that, a little cautious until there actually is an arrest. But many accounts on social media are flagging the, so-called Somalian woman who allegedly snatched the camera out of Nick Sorter's hands. Now, Nick Sorter, obviously someone who is peaceful until they go for him. And, when I sort of saw the video, I had to put the phone down cause I was too afraid to watch what could happen, right? Cause Nick is obviously holding on to the vehicle. As this woman's taking off, she's driving on the sidewalk, clearly doesn't care about anyone's life. And again, by the way, these are the same people who are protesting for Renee Good, who apparently wasn't trying to cause harm. But here they are again using their vehicle as a weapon to plow down a sidewalk. But Nick Sorter tried to flag police, and Minneapolis police are a bunch of cowards. They're cucked. They are losers who can't sit there and do their jobs without approval from the Marxists who are trying to tell them not to, I guess. The reality of it is Minneapolis PD is an embarrassment to their people. And they're not doing anything about this. In fact, Nick Sorter went up to a cop that he saw on the streets and tried to flag them about what happened to him. And that cop really was just like, get out of here, kid. I mean, that was literally the response. Take a listen to clip two.
For the car, but you guys got to do us a favor and stay out of this area. All right, we don't want anything else escalating to this point again. We got a lot of reports.
I understand we get attacked
and assaulted. By the way, they tried to steal my camera earlier, and we're the ones told to leave.
I'm not justifying what they did, but we're trying to keep the peace at the end of the day. And the bottom line is, you guys obviously aren't from the area.
But it's like if I'm a woman and I get raped for wearing tight jeans, and it's like, well, you shouldn't have been there.
That's not what we're saying.
Well, we're being told to leave when we're the ones who got attacked. I mean, it's like... Hey, well,
yeah, I mean, obviously, the ones who got attacked, so you'd expect the officer to at least have some decency, possibly get out of his vehicle to have a conversation with them. But no, they can't do that in Minneapolis because they're being held hostage by their Marxist leaders. And the reality of it is they are a bunch of cowards. Why would you allow these thugs to go around and snatch cameras out of individuals' hands, commit acts of violence, and then you're going to sit there and just say, oh, well, you don't live here, so you probably should get out? Get out? Minneapolis is an absolute dumpster, and it's really unfortunate, but the reality of it is I have no aspiration ever even going there, because they're a bunch of just losers. I mean, imagine that. They've sacrificed several times their city to the far left-wing terrorists. They never fight back because they're afraid of them. The Minneapolis police chief, Brian O'Hare, is another loser, coward, whatever you want to call him these days. This is the same guy who apologized if he offended any Somalians because, well, you can't offend a Somalian population if you're in Minneapolis by speaking the truth. So he's trying to sit here and make the case that ICE is actually the issue here, not the left-wing terrorists that are terrorizing individuals on the streets who are simply just trying to drive around, walk on sidewalks. No, not them. He's actually blaming it all on ICE. Take a listen to clip three and what he told 60 Minutes last night.
Administration officials are adamant that this action that they're undertaking in Minneapolis right now is making this city safer.
Targeted, precise, pre-planned operations on violent offenders. That is a good thing. But I'm concerned that people in the administration don't actually understand the reality of what's happening on the street.
Chief O'Hara told us the city's 911 system is overwhelmed by complaints about immigration enforcement.
What are you seeing?
Seeing multiple calls of people who have been subjected to tear gas, pepper spray. At least one case, a person was removed from a vehicle and the car wasn't even placed in park and it was rolling down the roadway.
That's the personal problem, dude. That's a personal problem. Oh, you're mad because you got maced. So what caused you to get maced? What caused you to get maced? I'd probably say you're probably acting like an animal. And as he previously said, we played a clip for you last week, these protests are unlawful. So we're not going to sit here and pretend like federal agents are the ones in the wrong. No, they're being stalked, they're being harassed, they're being assaulted. And then the local PD doesn't want to help. Why? Well, because the mayor instructed him not to. In fact, the mayor instructed Minneapolis PD to fight federal agents when they come to their neighborhoods. No, seriously, he did. He did. That's what Mayor Jacob Fry really wants. He really wants there to be a good old fight. Problem is he's not going to be the one to ball up his fists and go after these people. No, no, no. He won't. We're talking about a coward who has zero fight in him. Clip four, he is now claiming that the only way for peace to exist in Minneapolis right now is if ICE leaves. Take a listen.
The second these ICE agents leave the city, I'm telling you, you're going to have calm in Minneapolis and you will continue to see the great comeback that we had been experiencing. Let us get back to that comeback. Let us live in peace. Let us have businesses that are open and daycares where you don't need to escort staff to and from. Let us live in a place where, you know, I mean, look, in Minneapolis, we'll stand up. If we have to sled down ice hills to get to a protest, we'll do that. If we've got to make sure that people are escorted to the grocery store, you know, we'll do that. But truthfully, we want to get back to a place where we can just love on our city, do our daily activities, just like...
Ugh. Love on our city. Dude's a creeper. A real, real creeper. No, we're not going to do this. We're not going to sit here and allow illegal invaders to just take over cities and then our federal agents back out. See, this is what President Trump was elected for. He was elected to clear out the filth in these cities. And so he's doing just that. And I'm so fed up with all of these politicians pretending like ICE isn't actually going out there and getting the worst of the worst. They're trying to. And the reality of it is Democrats love rapists. They love them. There's no other way to see it. Because why? Well, they keep defending them. They keep trying to protect them. When they sit here and say, oh, no, ICE isn't getting the worst of the streets, they're lying to you, but it's all intentional. It's meant intentionally to deflect the attention away from the criminals because these are their future voters. These are their future voters. And so now that they're sitting back and watching all of this, they have to play the victim role. That's all they have. That's all they have. They don't have a factually correct argument that people of the United States do not stand with them. Why? Well, because they elected Donald Trump. Donald Trump is probably one of the most mass deportation pro, I guess I don't even know what the nickname would be, presidents we've ever had. Barack Obama obviously taking the cake, but President Trump we're hoping could clear these people out of our country. But now Democrats see a future voting base, and that's the reason why they've gone all in on illegals. Even the rapists. And if you don't believe me, well, all you have to do is listen to clip five, because yesterday, an ICE agent was pleading with protesters, leave us alone, stop blowing your horn, we're trying to get a rapist off the streets. But what's their response? What you'd expect from these left-wing hacks. Take a listen.
We're here to arrest a child sex offender. And you guys are out here honking.
Oh, they're not. No, we're pressing.
That vehicle right there is honking and impeding our investigations while we're trying to arrest a child sex offender. That's who you guys are protecting. Insane. That's what we're doing. My word is not for you. My word is not for you. I don't have this, bro. It's insane. It's insane how you can be honking.
Yeah, you can't rationalize with these people. They don't care that you're trying to get a child rapist off the streets. They don't care. Why are we even allowing this in the first place, folks? I don't understand. I'm going to sit back and continue to watch this unravel in Minneapolis for how much longer? How much longer? The protesters aren't protesters even from the city. They've come outside the city. They've been shipped over there for a reason. You know, we sat back and we talked to Wid Lyman, who's been on the ground there for several days now. Wid telling us, no, these people, I've seen them other places. Protests all across the country. We keep hearing that these NGOs are being investigated, but come on. Come on. You see, the reason why I can't sit here and believe the we're investigating this narrative that's being spun is because all of the investigations have already been put out there. I mean, investigative journalists have been digging into these NGOs for years now. And so all of the facts are being laid out in front of you. What the heck is taking so long here? Oh, I get it. Yeah, we can't talk about ongoing investigations. That's usually what the deflection is here. They want you to cheer like you're a bunch of SEALs, but the reality of it is we're not seeing anything. These NGOs should be shaking their boots. They're not, though. They're not. They're not. Speaking of probably being a little nervous, according to reports, federal officials are investigating Renee Good's partner, not a wife, because apparently she wasn't legally married. Now they're trying to determine whether or not she was impeding a federal officer moments before Good was shot. Now, again, she's the one hyping her up in the video. Go, babe, drive. I mean, the girl was ridiculous. She should be charged. She should be charged. She's clearly instructing her to plow through an officer. Bad advice. Bad advice. But again, this is what's happening all across the country. It's not just that, too. It's not just this incident that you see in Minneapolis. There was another illegal alien over the weekend who decided to use his vehicle to plow into an ICE officer as well. It just keeps happening. Every week there's at least 3 to 4. And this is what we're allowing in our country. Filth. Filth. Absolute filth. Since we're going to talk about filth, let's just pivot to the next one. Let's talk about Don Lemon being an absolute scumbag. You see, Don Lemon is a dirtbag, okay? Because this guy, first off, he's going to pretend to be Christian. He's not a Christian, obviously. He's not living a Christian life. But here he is arriving to a church with a group of protesters, and he's amping it up. He's so excited. Why? Because they're trying to disrupt Sunday service. Because you can't be Christian in this country if the left-wing terrorists decide we got something we want to say. We don't want you practicing your religion. Our First Amendment overrides yours. Well, Don Lemon is an absolute coward, and he decided to go with these protesters, into a church yesterday. And he really thought he was coming up a winner in all of this. Well, if you're wondering also why Don Lemon's out here doing outrageous-ish, he is because, well, he can't get views. You see, when Don Lemon was on CNN, CNN propped him up with a full team, producers wrote a script for him, a makeup crew, everyone, and he still wasn't even mediocre at his job. Now what's happening? Well, now he's man on the street. He's starting at an entry-level position, and he's trying to get clicks. So what does he have to do? Well, he has to do the most disgraceful thing possible, and that is target Christians, as if that's not already happening enough in this country. No, Don Lemon has to go and intrude on their Sunday service. And he tried to do so. He even tried to confront the pastor. The pastor, apparently, they're accusing him of possibly having ties to ICE. I don't care what his ties are. He's allowed to sit there and enjoy Sunday service and be in front of his parish, obviously, and do whatever he wants to do without being intruded. By the way, church, private property. Don Lemon shouldn't be there in the first place. If you don't believe me, though, listen to clip 6.
What do you think of this? I mean, this is unacceptable. It's shameful. It's shameful to interrupt a public gathering of Christians in worship. So,
but there were folks who said,
I have to take care of my flock. Okay, my
listen, we live in there's a constitution in the First Amendment to freedom of speech and freedom to assemble and protest.
Yeah. We're here to worship. We're here to worship Jesus because that's the hope of these cities. That's the hope of the world is Jesus Christ.
I want to be very respectful. Please don't push me though.
We're here to worship Jesus.
Yes.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why we're here.
Okay.
That's what we're about.
Don't you think Jesus would be understanding
and love
these folks?
We're about spreading the love of Jesus.
Did you try to talk to them as a Christian?
No one is willing to talk.
Okay.
I have to take care of my church and my family, so I ask that you actually would also leave this building.
You don't want us to
unless you're here to worship.
I'm always worship. I'm a Christian.
We're here to worship. Yeah. We're here to worship. Okay.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Whether you agree with the policies or procedures, I think I could actually be sympathetic to some of the things where there have been challenges to fashion and decency. At the same time, these are what are called targeted interventions by ICE to keep the American people safe.
If I respectfully may interject here, I've been out reporting on a lot of these, and they're not targeted. There are no warrants signed by a judge. Let me finish. And they're American citizens, many of them. Most of the people that they detain don't have criminal convictions or criminal records.
I'm not going to get into the weeds.
But you should know that, though. Don't you think that's part of it?
Yes. And I could also show you many opposing sides where we're also picking up the very criminals that have put Americans in danger. And I'm not saying it's pretty. I'm not saying it's not messy. I'm not saying it couldn't be better. I'm saying this is a part of a much larger dialogue in which one administration caused a great deal of chaos and havoc and danger for American citizens, and another is trying to correct that.
Do you believe that? Honestly, okay. Let me talk to you.
Listen,
just on the facts.
You're not a journalist.
Yes, I am. No, I want to give you the facts.
No.
Did you know that undocumented people and immigrants commit far less crime than American citizens?
We're done here. We're done here. We're
than natural-born Americans? You won't listen.
If you could ask,
I'm giving you the facts.
They're not the facts, Don.
But I can respond to you.
No, we're done.
Did Jesus stand with the oppressed?
Because he doesn't want to
listen
to facts.
They're not the facts. Don Lemon is a pile of garbage. He really, really is. He's pretending to be a journalist, and he doesn't have any of the facts. The rebuttal is yes, they are criminals, and we have every right to deport them from our country. This is our country, not Don Lemon's. No, he could deport him. He's a Marxist pig. I'm done with these people. I'm done with all of them. We need to just completely get rid of these people from our country. They are destroying it. The fact that Don Lemon thinks he could walk into a church, pretend like he's a Christian, which he's not because obviously he's a homosexual, and go out there and continue to act this way is absolutely disgraceful. It's absolutely disgraceful. He doesn't have a right to be there. It's private property. Get out. Get out. See, if you can't sit there and be this brave, by the way, he would never do this at a mosque, by the way. Would any of them walk into a mosque and try this nonsense? Absolutely not. You know why? Because they're cowards. They're cowards. I'm so fed up with this, folks. I'm so fed up with people like Don Lemon who think they're privileged and they have to lecture the rest of us on all their liberal ideas when they're all failed ideas. These people do not belong in our country, and we need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of them. By the way, Don Lemon was actually celebrating when he saw a child was actually forced to leave service and was really upset about the massive protests that took place in Clip 7. Take a listen.
Watch this guy here. Look, he's hugging his kid. I've imagined it's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here. But again, careful. It's very slippery right here.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here, but that's what really, careful, please. Really slippery. Not kidding. That's what protesting is about, and so
that's what protesting is about. It's about actually making little kids run out of church service crying. It's to cause them trauma. Thankfully, Don Lemon's not breeding. That's the only good news here that I have for you guys today. But the reality of it is something needs to be done about this. This cannot be the regular occurrence. We can't allow this to keep happening. The DOJ says they're investigating, but what else do you need to investigate? You see it right there. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we've just extended that free hat deal till midnight tonight. So when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and you snatch anything up on the website right now, no minimum required, you're going to get that free hat that you see on your screen. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. This is a free $30 value that you get with every purchase right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. It was a popular sale, so we've extended it. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
Can feel the power of methylene blue. Don't let the evil power win. Order now on thealexjonesstore.com.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
A creeping mass with an eerie tone smiles on the surface with intentions unknown. Step past the light where truth's overthrown. Welcome, my friend, to the Info Zone.
An oozing mass of liars and snakes bought and paid for. Truth bends and breaks. It inches in close, steals freedoms away, drowns you in chemicals to make you obey.
I woke up this morning, felt the fire turn. Mind clear, feel the power burn. Found the truth in a place that delivers the force. Real strength, real fuel from the source. Methylene blue. Alex Jones Store.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
To the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here, and a lot we're going to catch you up on. All right, folks. Well, Venezuela, obviously, still something you want to keep your eye on, given the fact that President Trump is still trying to figure out how to move forward after, you know, the arrest of Nicolas Maduro. And it's interesting because I expected, you know, they all claimed there was a president that was elected in Venezuela and that she was going to be placed. I mean, we all kind of assumed that she was going to be next because she apparently won. Everyone agreed that she had won the election. That's not the case because the vice president of Venezuela has now moved into the presidency. Delcy Rodriguez is now running Venezuela, and President Trump apparently has been speaking with her. But the interesting part in all of this, she's been on the DEA's radar, according to Headline USA, and she has quite the interesting background. Joining me to discuss is Ken Silva. He's one of the incredible editors over at Headline USA, and he's got a ton of stories to catch up on. This will be the first, though. Ken, always great having you on the program, of course. I saw this and thought it was quite strange, given her background, and I think a lot of Venezuelans were excited because, obviously, Nicolas Maduro is a dictator. They thought he was out of here. And it doesn't seem to be that way. There seems to be some hangover with the VP now being the acting president of Venezuela. What's the latest going on over there?
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks a lot for having me. And, you know, this really isn't surprising that Delcy Rodriguez is also under investigation for drug trafficking, considering that She was pretty much Maduro's right-hand woman. I mean, I get the sense that she was kind of like almost as Dick Cheney. She was actually in charge of the Bolivarian National Intelligence Service, which is kind of like the Venezuelan's version of the KGB or the FBI. I mean, she oversaw the arrest of dissidents, disappearing people, throwing them in prison and torturing them. She's, you know, a very ruthless woman. And of course, you know, the AP released documents showing that she has been on the DEA's radar for years. An informant linked her to drug trafficking in a Caribbean island, or money laundering to wash the proceeds of drug trafficking. Her name has been surfaced in nearly a dozen DEA investigations. You know, so again, this isn't really surprising. I think even people who support what Trump did with Maduro understand that the idea that we did this for drug trafficking reasons is a pretty flimsy pretext. Venezuela, you know, they're not a big fentanyl trafficking hub. They mostly sent to America cocaine, which is kind of like a rich person's drug. Mostly people in like New York City and D.C. use it to party and stay up late at night. I think, you know, the move against Maduro was for, you know, geopolitical reasons. Of course, Venezuela's allies with Russia and Iran and Cuba. And the Trump administration is looking for someone they can do business with and perhaps open it up to American oil company investment. Whether Rodriguez is that person remains to be seen. Like I said, she is a pretty ruthless person committed to the left-wing socialist cause. A lot of people think that she might be just trying to bide her time. Maybe she'll allow some oil to flow to the U.S., release a few prisoners, just hoping that Trump will eventually get distracted and move on to something else. And of course, the oil companies feel this way, too. They're pretty hesitant to get in bed with this same regime. The Wall Street Journal reported this morning that actually the head of ConocoPhillips' Venezuelan operations was kidnapped in Venezuela in early, 2002. And when the Hugo Chavez regime expropriated all of ConocoPhillips' equipment and resources, they stole about $12 billion. The company has been trying to get that back ever since. And Trump recently said, like, oh, well, you know, we're not focused on the past. We want to do business moving forward. But if you're the oil companies, you're not going to feel too good about that. And you might not want to get in bed with the same regime that originally stole from you. So all these are, still very much open questions as to whether actually Trump's move is going to succeed in his ultimate goals.
Yeah, Ken, I kind of want to get your take on this, too, because, you know, a lot of people believe that we were going to Venezuela, obviously not for the drugs. As you discussed earlier, it doesn't really make any sense. You could sit there and make it like a pretext, but the reality of it is that never really seemed to be the truth. And so a lot of people pivoted and thought it was due to the oil. But why do you think we did all of this? Because, again, it doesn't seem like the Venezuelan people are going to get a good leader that they elected. I mean, Machado is the woman who was elected. I mean, they told us all that she was elected, that he stole the elections. So how come they haven't moved her into that slot?
Well, Trump himself said that the people, you know, she doesn't have the support. So, you know, we were told that she won by a landslide. I'm not sure that's the case. I wouldn't trust Western media, to be frank. Again, I think, you know, Maduro was pretty staunchly anti-U.S. and we thought that maybe getting rid of him, we could move into somebody else who's willing to do business. This also has to do with, you know, cutting off oil to Cuba, putting more pressure on Russia and Iran. I think these are probably the ultimate ends. Again, these are very much open questions as to whether it'll actually succeed, though, because, you know, there is something called the rally around the flag effect, where if a foreign country is attacking you, like imagine China attacked America while Joe Biden was the president, we wouldn't be rooting for China. We'd rally around Joe Biden. And I think, you know, there is the risk that that's what America is doing by, you know, blowing up fishermen and doing these kind of operations. You're going to spark nationalism in Venezuela, where even though they don't like the socialist regime, they're going to rally around it because they don't like the foreign meddling. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're keeping our eye on that to see how it develops. But obviously, this is all very concerning. want to switch gears a little bit and bring it back to the homeland, to Florida. Ryan Ruth is an individual who obviously has been convicted of trying to assassinate President Donald J. Trump. And another DOJ is seeking life in prison. His attorneys are asking for 20 years in prison. What's the latest on that front?
Yeah, his sentencing is coming up on February 4th, so just in about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And now both parties are arguing, you know, what the punishment should be. You know, we've talked about this a lot where Ryan Ruth, he represented himself during the trial. It was really a disaster for him. He didn't know how to properly cross-examine any of the witnesses. I think the jury returned with a guilty verdict in about like 25 minutes, which for a case of that magnitude is really extraordinary. So he's finally wisened up a little bit. He's got an attorney who made a pretty interesting appeal at saying, you know, he's going to be 80 by the time he gets out of jail if he's only sentenced for 20 years. Still, the magnitude of this crime, the DOJ is asking for life. And I got to imagine that's probably what he's going to get is a life sentence. Another issue, though, here is where is he going to be incarcerated? His sister actually filed a letter asking him to be in a North Carolina federal facility that has a minimum security prison. And that's going to boil down to whether or not Judge Cannon agrees to slap terrorism enhancements on what he did. If the terrorism charges stick, he could be going to a Supermax in Florence or Terre Haute. And, you know, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. That's where you're on lockdown for 23 hours a day in solitary confinement and some of the harshest conditions in America. And for an extroverted kind of narcissistic guy like Ryan Ruth, I got to imagine that would be kind of the straw that breaks the camel's back and makes him go totally insane. So I think there is an argument, you know, he's almost a senior citizen. He needs mental health. And frankly, I want to know what this guy knows. You know, what was he doing in Ukraine? Who were some of the intelligence people that he might have been connected with? If he's thrown in a supermax, he's not going to be available for media interviews or even to talk to anybody. I think you're limited to like one phone call a month. So maybe for public disclosure, it would be better if he was put in more of a conventional facility.
Yeah, and he's definitely somebody I would love to speak to because I just don't understand, like you said, what his foreign ties were to all of this. And I think it's worth asking him those questions. So let's hope that you at least get the opportunity to do just that because you've been following this case extensively. So that would be great for you. I want to switch over, though, to the FBI as well because the FBI, as many of our audience members recall, Kash Patel, the FBI director, came out earlier last year and said that the FBI was going to sever ties with the ADL because the ADL had targeted Charlie Kirk and others. But they were weaponizing their powers to kind of flag hate speech. And they were widely, as one would assume, using the term hate speech to go after their opponents and putting them on lists that they shouldn't be on in the first place. But so Kash Patel was fired up about that and did cut off, he said he was cutting off ties with the ADL. Well, in clip 12, we're going to listen to the ADL CEO, Jonathan Greenbalt, who apparently is someone who's out here right now saying, oh, no, we're actually still working with the FBI. Take a listen.
So number one, we measure and track. Number two, we monitor and disrupt. We have a whole apparatus. I have 40 analysts working full time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, monitoring extremists. We monitor them online, social media, messaging apps, video games, cryptocurrency, podcasts, short form video, Wikipedia, LLMs. We monitor these people and we share the intelligence with the FBI.
All right. So that's obviously Greenblatt who's saying just that he's working with the agency. And, it's deeply concerning, Ken, because they told us they weren't working together. So why does the, ADL CEO seem to think that they are?
Yeah. Well, I was pretty skeptical of, Kash Patel's announcement that he cut ties with the ADL last year over, you know, including Turning Point USA as like a hate group, which is totally absurd. Yeah. But Patel painted the ADL-FBI relationship as a creation of former director James Comey when the relationship is much deeper and goes decades farther back than with Comey. It goes all the way back to the 60s when J. Edgar Hoover ordered all his field offices to establish relationships with the ADL. Basically, what the ADL does for the FBI is allows it to circumvent constitutional protections. So as flimsy as these protections are, if the FBI wants to, say, send an informant into a Catholic church, they need the approval of the director. It needs to be run up all the way to the attorney general. There's a lot of paperwork, a lot of red tape in such an operation. That's not the case if they just have the ADL as a cutout sending, you know, basically private citizens into churches, right-wing groups, other organizations. They can spy all they want and then just provide the intelligence to the FBI. And that's what they've been doing pretty much for decades. There's been ADL employees who pose as like undercover Nazis in the 90s. Like, this is a very well-documented history. And, you know, sure enough, when Patel claimed to cut ties, a couple months later, we now have the CEO, Jonathan Greenblatt, saying otherwise. You know, the FBI, you know, there's a possibility that Greenblatt was just trying to garner more donations and that the relationship really was severed, but the Bureau did not respond to my request for comments. So I'm pretty sure the relationship's still there. And last thing I want to say about this is, you know, in that clip, I don't think you played the part where he actually talks about the ADL notifying the FBI about the Turtle Island Liberation Front, which was this group that the FBI claimed was plotting to bomb businesses on New Year's Eve. Well, Greenblatt said that he briefed the FBI on this group on December 10th, and the group was arrested 5 days later. But of course, as we discussed previously on your show, that group had already been infiltrated by at least one paid operative and an undercover agent. Now, Greenblatt talks about this group also like kind of vandalizing a synagogue in late November. And my question is, was the FBI informant or was the FBI undercover agent involved in that vandalism? I mean, that would be a huge story that I would hope some left-wing journalist might be able to run down. I've reached out to the synagogue and some of the groups involved in that alleged vandalism to see, well, you know, was the informant there? Was the undercover agent there? And, you know, they didn't respond to me, but maybe a journalist with more inroads with the left-wing groups might be able to, you know, hunt that story down.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one to hear about. Again, I mean, Ken, it's funny when you say that you've reached out to the FBI for comment and they didn't respond. I always say the FBI is by far one of the worst comms teams, in this whole country, I guess I'll say at this point. DHS does an incredible job of getting back, the Pentagon as well, but for some reason the FBI doesn't want to respond to things, and then they get mad at any type of criticism to go after people with. And it's just, it's so infuriating that we make these attempts to try to reach out to hear their side of things, but they don't want to respond. I know that they just recently named a new deputy director. Your thoughts just personally on that before we move on to the next topic?
I know you've done a lot of reporting on that. I'm not too familiar with the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, apparently he managed to skirt some of the major controversies that plagued the Bureau during the Biden administration. I do find it odd that we still have co-FBI directors because, of course, Andrew Bailey was appointed as Dan Bongino's co-director last year. I guess they want to get some guys with actual decades of FBI experience. But other than that, you know, so this not doesn't make for good radio, but I don't really have an opinion of this guy. I haven't looked into him too deeply.
Yeah, yeah. We're still waiting to hear more on that front because I'm hearing that there's going to be a report coming out later this week. I tried reaching out for them, the FBI itself, for comment. Unfortunately, we didn't get anywhere with that, but I'll wait till that report drops. I want to get to this, though. I want to get to the Fed because, obviously, we heard last week that Fed Chairman Jerome Powell was going to be under investigation. It looks like that has kind of evolved a little bit. He's obviously aware he's under investigation and has hired legal counsel. What's going on over there?
Yeah, so we now know that Jerome Powell has hired outside counsel at a firm. It's called Williams & Connolly. It's just got a pretty interesting history of representing a number of very powerful figures from the Obamas, the Clintons, George W. Bush. I think they got on the map in the 80s when they represented Ali North in the Iran-Contra scandal. And most recently, they were counsel for Perkins Coie during the whole fiasco where Trump tried to suspend their security clearance over their involvement in Russiagate. They were eventually able to overturn that with the help of Williams and Connolly. I wouldn't characterize this as your typical corrupt deep state law firm, though. I did look into them, and they have a policy where they refuse to hire former prosecutors or DOJ's attorneys. They only draw from defense attorneys, which I think is good. It avoids kind of that revolving door corruption where you have the DOJ attorneys going back and forth between these various private practices. So I think that's probably a mark in favor of this firm. But the bigger story is that Jerome Powell hired this firm in anticipation of a criminal investigation. This was before the subpoenas even were issued. And that matters because the Washington Post reported Saturday that this whole inquiry into is the Federal Reserve's renovation project was a non-criminal inquiry. You had attorneys with the DOJ just asking for various, you know, costs about what this project is going to end up costing the taxpayers. And the Fed was totally stonewalling them, not even asking basic questions. And that's when they finally issued subpoenas. But of course, it looks like Jerome Powell was prepared for that, already lawyering up. So the issue is the Federal Reserve its own private little fiefdom? Does it get to just totally ignore government oversight and basic questions about how it's using public funds? Of course, you know, the old saying is, you know, it's neither federal nor does it have any reserves. It's kind of like representing the private banking cartels. That's going to really be put to the test in this case. You know, is it its own private little entity that's not accountable to our democratically elected president? It sure looks like that. You know, that's the 100-plus year history of the Fed. But Trump's really going to put that to the test.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing just that. I know he's going to for sure. And we've all been very frustrated with the Fed chair. So whatever can you just get him out faster, I'm okay with it at this point. Ken Silva, thank you for joining us. As always, at breaking down these stories. You do an incredible job over at Headline USA. So folks, head on over there. Make sure you guys follow. Also on X, JD_cashless. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we got our eyes right now in Davos. Why? Well, it looks like the Treasury Secretary is going to be speaking there in just a few moments. When Scott Bessent does, we'll bring it straight to you, of course, but we've got our eyes as to what's happening in Davos because that is the future. That is the future. All right, we're following a couple other stories right now as well. We'll keep it. Whenever that begins, we'll bring it right to you. But, you know, we're following a couple other stories right now as well. So let's get to that. I think it's really, really interesting that we've seen some type of transitions lately. Let's start off with this. I want to talk about the sheriff over in Polk County, Florida, Grady Judd. In clip 10, he's actually one of my favorite sheriffs. When I worked in local news in Florida, I had the pleasure of having to work with his team, and they are by far the best. Sheriff Grady Judd is a no BS sheriff, and I love him for it. I truly, truly do. When it comes to the media, though, if they decide to use verbs or let's just say any type of term to lessen what illegal invaders are, well, he'll step in and he'll remind you. And he did just that because he has been doing his very best to arrest and work with ICE when they do find illegals living in their county. And one journalist, or journalist, I should say, decided to ask the sheriff about that. And take a listen to his response in 10.
Well, I don't call them undocumented immigrants. I call them illegal immigrants because that's what they are. The reason they're not documented is they're not legal, okay? They're illegal immigrants. 74% of the illegal immigrants that we've detained have had criminal charges against them, okay? The other 26% were riding with them, okay? So when we stop a car, we run a warrants check on everybody in the car. When there is a call for service, we run a warrants check on the victim, the suspect, and all the witnesses, okay? We call that 26% collateral. But three out of four of them have committed another criminal charge.
The facts, they're inconvenient facts. They don't like those facts. If they don't like the facts, they'll rewrite their facts and they'll try to push it as much as they can. But when you push back, what you're going to see in clip 9, like Christine Ohm did over on Face the Nation yesterday, they don't know what to say. Because honestly, folks, to sit here and advocate for criminals is insane. And it's just a losing argument that the media and Democrats always take sides with. Take a listen to clip 9 and how Christine Ohm shut it down.
About 70% of them have committed or have charges against them on violent crimes and crimes that they are charged with or have been convicted of that have come from other countries that are here illegally, first of all, and then they have committed a criminal act while they've been here or in their home countries as well.
But it's not 70%.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is.
70% of everyone
you guys keep changing your percentage. You pick and choose what numbers you think work, but that is the facts, is that 70% of the people that we have detained have charges against them or have been convicted of charges, and they need to be brought to justice. And we're going to keep doing that no matter how much you guys keep lying and don't tell the public the truth. It absolutely is that these law enforcement officers are out there every day doing the work to protect the American people, and they will keep doing that because they believe in enforcing the law, which is exactly what President Trump has charged them with.
No, no, she said it's not 70%. But did she have a rebuttal? Did she have the actual numbers? No. No, she didn't. See, this is what they're trying to do. They just try to sit there and say, oh, that's not true. That's not true. But they don't have the actual facts. The woman who runs DHS, you'd think she'd have the numbers. And obviously she does, because there was no rebuttal there. There was no rebuttal. They're hoping you're just as stupid as they are. That's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. They hope they can get away with sitting there and just saying, that's not true. That's not true. They're not all criminals. What does that mean? They can't tell you. They never can. Folks, just so you know, we extended the sale over at thealexjonesstore.com. When you make a purchase over at the shop, you're going to get this free hat. This deal is going to now end at midnight. It is obviously one of your favorite sales, and so we've extended that. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com to get this limited edition, never before sold InfoWars hat. No minimum spending required. So that means you could buy anything over the shop and you're going to get this hat for free. That sale is ending tonight at midnight. So make sure you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and snag it before it is too late. Again, guys, this is a $30 value, yours for free when you go make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com. And we appreciate you for supporting us and helping us stay up and running. And that is the reason why we're giving you this free hat when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. That hat sale, that free hat, it's ending at midnight. So head on over there and do that dress. Now, you're not going to miss out on that. Also, if you haven't done so already, I don't know what you're waiting on. AlexJonesApp.com. That's how you download the app. You stay in touch with us. And you stay in the know. Head on over. AlexJonesApp.com. Androids, Apple phones, all are welcome over at AlexJonesApp.com. All right, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Buckle up. Second hour of the show kicking off in just a few moments.
Can feel the power of Methylene Blue. Don't let the evil power win. Order now on thealexjonesstore.com.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
A creeping mass with an eerie tone smiles on the surface with intentions unknown. Step past the light where truth's overthrown. Welcome, my friend, to the Info Zone.
An oozing mass of liars and snakes bought and paid for. Truth bends and breaks. It inches in close, steals freedoms away, drowns you in chemicals to make you obey.
I woke up this morning, felt the fire turn. Mind clear, feel the power burn. Found the truth in a place that delivers the force. Real strength, real fuel from the source. Methylene Blue, light my mind. Ultimate power, feeling strong and prime. CMOS gummies, open the door.
Jones store.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here. Minneapolis. I'm tired of talking about Minneapolis, but there's a lot happening there. So we're going to keep our focus there as well as we shift around and make sure we bring you the news that nobody else wants to tell you about. We do that here every single day for you. We've got a lot more to discuss in a bit. Jorge Ventura will be joining us later in the hour of this program, of course, because he just recently left his corporate media job and is now doing independent journalism again. I was very excited to hear that because he is one of the best. He goes to all of these protests, and I think he likes it, actually. I think he likes it a lot. We'll ask him when he joins us. In about 30 minutes, he'll be on with us. But he's done an incredible job at reporting and doing independent journalism for years now, making his career landmark, I'd say, or putting his the massive stamp in his career was back when he was doing the BLM riots back in 2020. And he was front and center to all the chaos, bringing you content you wouldn't see anywhere else. And so Jorge Ventura will be joining us in just about 30 minutes. We look forward to that. We'll also be taking your calls in the third hour of the program. So if there's a story you want to elaborate on, sound off on, that will be the time to do just that. We will give out that number later because, again, it's going to be about an hour before we start taking calls there. So we got some time, but that is your opportunity to call into the show. I'm going to play a very funny clip for you in a couple of seconds, probably I'd say about 4 minutes. It's actually not even funny because it's so insane. It's sad because there actually is a victim involved in this. But a woman has been charged with a hate crime, apparently an anti-Semitic hate crime, because she accidentally butt-dialed a Jewish woman. No, seriously, that was the story. I had to look into it to make sure it was legit. It is because, well, guess what? It's Australia. In case you didn't know, Australia, one of the many countries that punishes people for free speech. But I mean, it's not even what the woman said. She didn't say anything. That's the worst part about all of this. She actually didn't even say a single word on the voice message. According to reports, it was dead silence, and then gunshots went off. Again, they're claiming that this is actually anti-Semitism. This is the problem with hate speech laws, folks. You actually don't even need to speak to get charged with hate speech. That's what that woman's enduring right now. We'll bring you the latest on that. Oh, and by the way, she also has a disability, which will probably make it very hard for them to prosecute her because the woman who's been charged is probably not even aware of any of this, has no idea what's happening to her. We'll bring you the latest on that in just a little bit. We'll also bring you some good information about Maha. I love bringing you these updates because RFK Jr., like I sit here and tell you Congress isn't doing nothing. They're not doing nothing, but RFK Jr. is really doing a lot over at HHS, and I keep focusing on that because there's a lot of good that's happening there. He's actually investigating whether your cell phone possibly is causing you brain damage, possibly cancer. He's looking into that. I'll bring you the latest on the study that he has just launched with his team, which is great, great news, of course. Also bring you an update in regards to Iran because a lot is still happening there. The Iranian government told President Trump that we're done executing citizens. Protesters, we're not doing it anymore, is what they claimed. But it looks like now that suddenly has shifted and is possibly no longer that commitment that they actually laid out. Also, those who are being detained, well, apparently they've been injected with an unknown substance while being held in prison. I'll bring you that story because obviously that is deeply, deeply alarming. You know what's insane? Also, since we're talking about all this, here in Texas, the amount of money that taxpayers have coughed up for the illegal invaders who have infiltrated our country as they go off to hospitals is insane, is insane. We actually have the numbers from 2025 that I'll break down for you in a little bit as well. That is pretty freaking wild when you find out how much you've been coughing up over, well, just 1 year. It's the fiscal year of 2025, which is crazy. Again, folks, we got our eye right now on the World Economic Forum. We are expecting to hear from the Treasury Secretary in just a few moments. That will probably start up in just a couple of minutes, I believe, maybe 15 minutes. Once he goes live there, that will be Scott Bennett. We'll bring it straight to you. So buckle up. We got a lot there. We will also be talking more, again, about Minneapolis. So don't go anywhere. A lot more to discuss in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Again, we've extended that hat sale, free hat, when you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com. That sale's been extended till midnight tonight. So head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you snag it before it's too late.
gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all on the board with us in the second hour of the program. Buckle up, a lot more to discuss. A lot of crazy things happening over the weekends. A lot of good, though, we'll dive into in just a few moments. I wanted to get to this clip first because it's insane. Obviously, if you're watching InfoWars, you're well aware. You're well aware of the push to censor speech. And I know a lot of people would sit there and say, oh, well, our government's just censoring Europeans. Our government only censors hate speech. But the crazy part about hate speech is who's defining what hate speech actually is. Well, the term has been just so vague over the years that it's actually now just frickin' insane. There's a woman in Australia who's actually just been charged with a hate crime. They're accusing her of potentially being anti-Semitic. Now, it's not over what she said, because in fact, this was all a butt dial situation. She accidentally called a woman that she didn't really know. She just knew that she was like a fitness influencer. And she tried texting her, but accidentally called her phone. And that fitness influencer, who apparently is Jewish, claims that it was a quiet phone call, obviously confirming that it was a butt dial. And then all of a sudden she randomly heard gunshots on the voice message. And apparently that now deems this as anti-Semitic. Now, don't take my word for it. Take a listen to clip 11.
What police allege was an anti-Semitic threat, the defense says was anything but.
This seems to be a case of charge burst and answer questions later.
Serena Tanuri, charged with harassing Mandy Sacker, a nutritionist of Jewish faith she'd never met but seen on TV and social media. The alleged offending contained in a voicemail 1 week after the Bondi massacre.
All of the circumstances of this case point in one direction. It is an accidental call.
Serena's lawyer, noting his client who works at Bunnings, has a severe intellectual and cognitive disability supported by the NDIS.
She's not anti-Semitic. She doesn't even understand the conflict.
It's alleged Serena sent a text to Mandy, writing, "Hey, how are you? Is this Mandy? I saw somewhere that you helped Katie from Married at First Sight with her nutrition. I was wondering if you could help me as well, Serena." Around 5 hours later, a call from Serena's number went to Mandy's voicemail. No voices were heard on the recording, but Mandy claims she heard sounds she believed were gunshots, causing her immediate fear and nervousness.
It could be a bed creaking. It could be someone snoring.
The 26-year-old, who has also been hit with an AVO, pleaded not guilty today. The case is listed for next month when a decision will be made on whether the charge is dropped or if the matter goes to a hearing.
You were very shocked to hear you charged from police.
Especially like with my mental health. Just wish people could understand.
Hayley Francis, Nine News.
See, this is the problem with hate speech laws. She doesn't even know what happened. I mean, yes, she has a cognitive disability, but folks, the rest of us don't even understand what she's being charged with. See, this is the problem with hate speech laws, right? Because they could just vaguely use it however they want to, and now they're trying to force a woman who's clearly not able to understand any of this. They're trying to charge her with a hate crime. Why? Well, a Jewish woman claims that she heard gunshots on the voice message, and that's all she needs to hear. Folks, this is becoming so insane. So insane. This is the reason why you can't support any hate law speech or hate speech law. It's early in the morning, Monday. Please forgive. But this is the reason why you can't, right? Because it just depends on who wants to define what hate speech actually is. And you actually don't even have to say anything for it to count as hate speech. You know, when they were pushing through all of these legislations all these bills in Australia. I warned you all this was going to happen. And of course, this is what happens. This is what happens. This is what happens. I actually feel really, really bad for that woman, though, by the way. I don't even know if she's going to be able to fight that off. It's just, it's insane what's going on all around the world. Speaking of that, let's bring it back to the States. California, specifically. You know, Congressman Eric Swalwell, many of you guys might know him. He's a troll. He's a CCP troll. Well, he's trying to pretend like he wants to run for governor. That's what he deserves. He deserves a promotion. This guy. Well, Joel Gilbert, who's a filmmaker, as many of you guys know him, is trying to challenge Swalwell. Because he's claiming that Swalwell can't run for governor because he doesn't meet the state constitutional residency requirement. That's according to Gilbert. Now, again, this would be interesting for him to fight, but he is claiming that he is actually a resident of Washington, D.C. rather than California. And that it actually, the Constitution itself in the state of California requires him to live in the state for 5 years. So again, this is a big one. Hopefully it sticks. But Gilbert's complaints points to public records, including a 2022 mortgage document, which claimed that he had property in Washington, D.C., and that was actually his principal residency. Many of you guys remember that was when he was being accused of potentially participating in mortgage fraud. So Joel Gilbert is trying his best to get him out. I believe it's a petition right now that's been filed to get him off, because apparently he's claiming he is not a resident of California. Wouldn't that be fascinating if they were able to get that one? That'd be a good one. A good one to snag. Get him off, man. I'm so tired of this guy. This guy's a troll. He's an absolute troll. The fact that he still has a political career tells you everything you need to know. California, an absolute wasteland these days, giving us some of the worst politicians we've ever seen in American history. All right, folks, we're keeping our eyes on Davos right now. We're waiting to see when the Treasury Secretary will be speaking. When that begins, we'll bring that right to you, of course. So we'll keep our eyes on that. All right, some good news. I was excited to see this. Very excited to see this. HHS has actually launched a study to see the cell phone radiation, what it's actually doing to your brain. As many of you guys know, I know a lot of people, myself included, figured that 5G is actually really damaging. There have been plenty of studies that have happened that do show how concerning it is. But HHS announcing that they are actually going to be studying this. They're looking to see what the neurological damage is caused by these cell phones, as well if they're causing cancer. Last year, the department said that 22 states had restricted cell phone use in schools to improve on mental and physical health of children. That was the big push. And interesting enough, too, I noticed that if you go to the FDA's websites, you'll also notice that they pulled down a lot of the posts that they had on their website, which claimed that cell phones are not dangerous. HHS actually announced that as well. The FDA removed web pages with old conclusions about cell phone radiation. And obviously this is all taking place while the HHS is looking into this. I remember seeing a study I feel like it was the EU. And I'm going to quickly search. But I'm pretty sure the EU put something out. Yeah, there you go. Just found it quickly. DNA damage is what's caused. That was a study that came out. What year was this? This is based on a study that was conducted on mice. And it studied specifically the health impact of 5G. So again, I mean, on top of the vaccines, on top of everything else they've flushed into the system, yeah, this is a big one. This is a big one. And these 5G towers, with all these health concerns too, just keep popping up all over the place. And of course, there are several different types of products you can use to kind of protect yourself a little bit from the radiation itself, but it's almost something that you could really just never get away from, right? Especially if you live in an apartment complex. Because I used to have this net where I'd put it over my Wi-Fi router at night. And it was supposed to help you make sure that you weren't, you know, subjecting yourself to these dangerous radiation that was coming off of your Wi-Fi router. Well, it doesn't even matter if you live in an apartment because you're so condensed in a building that everyone else's Wi-Fi routers will still affect you. Yeah, there are some things you could do, but the reality of it is, I mean, why are we living this way without any type of studies that are being done? There have been some private, but man, it's been a while. So I'm glad to see that the HHS is out there doing this. Obviously, RFK Jr. doing his very best to meet his end of the commitment, which was to make America healthy again. And we're excited about that. I don't know if you saw this report. This one came from Gay Weight Pundit in regards to how much illegal aliens are draining Texans financially from. $1 billion, in case you're wondering for the actual number. That's what it cost taxpayers in Texas. Now, okay, take this into effect. This is just for fiscal year 2025. The information which was gathered through the Texas HHS Commission, which the Texas Scorecard had access to the data, which revealed that hospitals recorded over 300,000 visits related to illegal aliens. That cost of 300,000 illegal invaders coming into Texas hospitals, $1.05 billion. A country that prioritizes people would never allow this, would never allow this. And, you know, sadly, Greg Abbott's been an absolute coward on the issue and, again, has not done what he needs to do, what he needed to do at all to take on this issue. You know, he likes to pretend like he is a MAGA fighter. He loves to pretend like he's a MAGA fighter. But here in Texas, he did absolutely nothing. And any legislator who's being truthful to you will tell you just that. All of this was avoidable if he actually truly cared. But the financial impact of illegal invasions, like the ones that we saw under the Biden regime, is quite extensive. Unfortunately, the Trump administration has their work cut out for them. But folks, there was more that could have been done in Texas by the governor if he actually cared, but he didn't care. Many critics do highlight his alignment, too, with the WEF as well. But there are several Republicans who consistently go out there and speak at the events in Davos. But they don't speak from a position of telling the globalists to F off. They speak in alignment with these horrific people. And Greg Abbott just being another absolute coward on that issue. Speaking of cowards, too, I don't know if you saw this story, but the Pennsylvania governor, Josh Shapiro, many of you guys know he's Jewish. If you recall back when Kamala Harris was running for president, Josh Shapiro was one of the top picks. Now, Shapiro apparently was a top pick because he was Jewish, and obviously they were trying to angle for the Jewish vote. Now, take a look at this story that just dropped because it's quite the fascinating one. According to the latest report, Shapiro says he was asked, and he's not, first off, by the way, he's got beef with Kamala Harris these days. But when they were trying to vet him to be Kamala Harris's potential VP, he was asked if he was a double agent for Israel. I don't know if there's any actual lingering questions about that, whether there's a background there. I don't think I've heard of anything publicly being announced. But apparently, he says that they asked him if he had any ties to Israel. That was during the vetting process for potential running mate. Interesting. Interesting. I wonder if Governor Walz was asked about whether or not he has any ties to Somalia. Is he a double agent for Somalia before they gave him the blessing of being the VP? Probably not likely. Probably not likely. All right, let's switch up to Iran. As many of you guys know, President Trump last week was very excited to come out and say that the Iranian government committed to him and his team that they weren't going to be executing protesters. And so we have a latest argument article that just came out that specifically highlights what's going on right now on the ground. Apparently, the Iranians are threatening to bring back those executions and resume them. Now, according to the Trump administration, 800 people were scheduled to be executed that was put on pause. This was all due to the fact that they were able to sit there and say they committed crimes against Allah for speaking out and protesting against their government. The government also saying that this is an all-out war against them. And the numbers, the figures are all over the place. So I really can't 100% tell you what's truthful, what's not. We keep hearing the numbers are in the thousands when it comes to protesters who have been killed. I know the Daily Mail's article this morning, I think, said 12,000. New York Post says 5,000. The numbers are all over the place. But it's quite obvious what's happening in Iran. It's still happening. That's the reason why they cut off the internet service, too, I believe, was so that people wouldn't come out and say anything about it. And those who are being detained are being held in just hellish conditions. Detainees are apparently being injected with an unknown substance. This article I found on Citizen Free Press. Protesters held in the Iranian prisons have described abuse, including forced nudity, exposure to the cold, and injections with substances from unknown components. Compositions is how they worded exactly. So we're going to keep our eye on this, obviously. This is obviously a very important one. We'll keep you in the loop on that. Right now, I believe we're watching right now what's going on right now in Davos in Switzerland right now. World Economic Forum happening right now. This is day one. And right now, the Treasury Secretary is making his way to the podium. Let's take that live to see what he has to say.
It's an honor to represent the U.S. delegation on behalf of President Trump. It's been a busy year, and the president will be here on Wednesday and Thursday to sum up the year, talk about his thoughts going forward. We've done trade deals, tax deals, and the deregulation. The U.S. economy is doing quite well. As President Trump says, we have a hot economy. We have trillions of dollars coming in terms of investment, and we expect that to accelerate this year. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Great. Let's start right over there. Yours, Deville Walsh.
Mr. Secretary, it's a pleasure to have you back in Switzerland. May I ask, what are the key points that you want to achieve here in Davos, and what are your goals in Switzerland?
Well, good to be back in Switzerland, and I think that the U.S.-Swiss relationship, after a rocky period over the past few months, is back on a very good track. What do we want to achieve? I think the message is America first does not mean America alone. And I think President Trump will be talking about this is what American leadership in the world looks like. The U.S. will be hosting the G20 next year. And I can tell you in the finance track, we are going to identify the lack of growth as the greatest threat to financial stability. So we are going to be pushing for growth, for deregulation.
Great. The next question, right here in the front, James, the Associated Press.
Secretary, nice to see you again. Thank you for coming. Jamie, Associated Press. Could you tell us what kind of communications you've had with European Union officials since your comments yesterday to U.S. media to avert a crisis and a new showdown and a souring relations between the United States and the European Union?
I've been traveling, so I haven't been in touch, but I spoke to President Trump, and evidently there are a lot of inbounds, and I think everyone should take the president at his word.
Next, I'll take right here, Laurent with AFP.
The European Union, well, two questions if I could. Can you confirm that the president's letter to Norway and then the EU might be preparing retaliatory measures with Greenland? Are you concerned about what that could mean?
I don't know anything about the president's letter to Norway, and I think it's a complete canard that the president will be doing this because of the Nobel Prize. The president is looking at Greenland as a strategic asset for the United States. We're not going to outsource our hemispheric security to anyone else.
Great. I think that'll probably be the last one for today, guys.
I think it would be very unwise. So thank you.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
All right. All right. That is the Treasury Secretary wrapping things up. Scott Bessent is making his way, obviously, in to the World Economic Forum right now. As many of you guys know, we are celebrating the 250 years of American greatness. And so they're doing just that. Also, that is the backdrop that you saw there over in Davos, looking to celebrate just that. So we'll keep our eye. We'll be following things as it happens. Obviously, you heard him say there that on Wednesday, the president will be speaking as well over in Davos. Look forward to hearing him to tell all the globalists to F off, as he normally does. So that will be a good one. We'll bring it to you when that begins as well. So that's another great one. All right, folks, we're following a lot of stories all across the country, and we look forward to bringing you more as they continue to develop. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend. We're going to play clip 8 for you, because the leader of the Somalian, well, he's a Somalian leader, and he also apparently works with CARE. Well, interesting enough, he has a message, and it's all in regards to what he deems were the failures of 2020. He thinks, and this is obviously someone who lives in Minnesota, that there were a lot of unresolved issues after the 2020 BLM riots for people like George Floyd and others. Take a listen.
Hey, folks, we are at a cross point. We did not do what was necessary to end police brutality after the murder of George Floyd. We are getting a second chance to do it right after the murder of Nicole Good. We have a second chance to do this right. Minneapolis, we are on the clock one more time again. We are here at another moment to say to this nation that a human life is not disposable. Nicole was peaceful. Nicole told the truth. Nicole stood for our neighbors. Nicole is all of us.
Yeah, no. Renee was a peaceful. They're all full of it. Folks, that is, according to reports, the leader, one of the leaders over at CARE Minnesota. Maybe that's why they designated CARE in 2 states as a terrorist organization. Possibly. All right, folks, buckle up. We have more to discuss in just a bit. We will have Jorge Ventura on the show, which I'm very excited about because he's entered back into the space of independent journalism. I look forward to hearing from him as to what was happening on the ground in Minneapolis. He was there all weekend. It was really, really cold, like really cold. Zero with like a 35-mile-per-hour wind. No thanks. No thanks. You can't get me over there. But we did have Jorge, so he'll break down the latest that was happening on the ground. He was also outside of that DoubleTree Hotel, which is apparently rejecting federal agents, those that were being housed there, were staying there. They got notes on their door. So Jorge did some knocking, and he'll bring us the latest on that report. Also, folks, we'll be taking your calls in just a bit. So if you'd like to join the wait line for the third hour of the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number you are going to want to call. The story that you want to react to that we've covered thus far, maybe a story we're missing out on, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We've extended that free hat sale. Many of you guys know if you make a purchase over at the Alex Jones store right now, you're going to get that limited edition hat for free. That is a $30 value, absolutely free. When you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make a purchase, no minimum spending required over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Steam Off. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Steam Off, because it's a thyroid issue, and the Steam Off has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it,
and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us. If you'd like to give us a call, join us. We'll be discussing the topics you guys want to talk about, news topics related, in just a little bit. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That is 877-789-2539. That is the number you're going to call as we start taking your calls in just a few moments. Got my eye on a couple of things happening right now. I keep getting these emails from THS about the people they're actually arresting, and they are pretty awful people. Pretty awful people. Constantly seeing emails of the pedophiles they're arresting. And it's pretty infuriating that we have people out there taking to the streets to protest. They protest for criminals. They don't protest for victims, though. They don't protest for the victims. Speaking of victims, there's a story out regarding Dr. Anthony Fauci and Collins. Let's see. I haven't. Let me just skip this one for now. Folks, we have a report we're going to go to. Let's toss to the report.
Mine is the first visit of a Canadian Prime Minister to China in nearly a decade. The world has changed much since that last visit. And I believe the progress that we have made in the partnership sets us up well for the new world order.
The government's coughing up billions in settlements, papering over the festering wounds of dispossession in order to slice Canada up into fragmented provinces under a new world order.
Another possible outcome of all of this land grab activity going on in Canada right now is that if this continues, what's going to happen is Canada's going to break apart in a very short period of time. We're talking a few short years, maybe. And Saskatchewan and Alberta are going to separate. And that will immediately be horrific for our already brutalized economy.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founder.
We're talking about the physical jihad, the physical struggling against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Threats of other occurrences such as the rise in the far right.
There will come a day that we will see far more radical extremists and terrorists coming out of Europe because of lack of decision-making, trying to be politically correct. I'm sorry, but that's pure ignorance.
Director General of Asia has warned about a range of threats, be it anti-Semitism, the rise of right-wing extremist groups as well.
Just like Israel, Australia does not have a right to exist!
The government is prepared to take whatever action is necessary. Included in that is the need for tougher gun laws.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
Never before has a new world order had to be assembled from so many different perceptions or on so global a scale.
This is the end of civilization as we know it, and a predatory AI globalist robot economy takeover. This is the equivalent of Pearl Harbor when the Japanese struck. This is the first official launch of the end of the rest of our lives. Now, remember, I'm the one that laid this out absolutely specifically, that Bill Gates is the front man for the large robber baron fortunes headed up by IBM that his mother captained. His father ran the World Eugenics Society after it was made illegal in Europe and it went underground. They run the whole thing. And they believe they are exterminating you to save the earth. And I'll just say something. I'm not going to join Bill Gates because it forfeits your soul. But if you go along with this and if you don't spread the word and if you don't stand up for your children and others, you are deserving of what happens to you. Because if you're going to let these people kill you and your family, then you deserve what happens to you.
Meeting on Jorge Ventura. He'll be jumping on with us in just a few moments. He's down in Minneapolis. So we're waiting to see what's going on with him. We're also taking your calls this hour. 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to want to call if you'd like to join the show, of course. And again, we've got more to discuss in just a bit. I see, though, my good friend Bill is on hold right now. Bill is the founder of the Loomer Fan Club, and he has something he'd like to discuss. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good. I mean, this is fast. I didn't. Let me put my headphone on real quick. I thought I was going to be on hold for like half an hour. But
no,
cool.
I saw your name, and we said, all right, let's do it quick.
All right, there you go. Got the headphone on. So, Brianna, I just want everybody to know that tomorrow we're talking about last weekend, what happened, which is all cool. And by the way, I live streamed that whole thing. I have Jake Lang and the whole brothers adventure on my live stream on Rumble. I had like 12 hours of live streaming. It's all on there. Anyway, tomorrow, the Democrats walk out, nationwide walkout. I don't know if people know about it, but they're trying to bill it as No Kings 2.0, which I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's worth it. It's framed as a national day of protest and walkout against what the organizers describe as escalating fascist threats in Trump's second term, referred to as the regime, including raids on communities, troop occupations, attacks on immigrants, family separations, mass surveillance, assault on women and transgender rights, and violence from cuts to health. I mean, this is going to be like the catch-all protest, so everything, right? The core message is to walk out of work, school, or commerce to disrupt normal routines, stop cooperating with perceived fascism, and build a free America. That's tomorrow.
Are you going, Bill?
Well, yeah. I mean, let me look at this list. There's no shortage of places to go in Wisconsin, and this is just one state. Here's what they have for Wisconsin tomorrow: Appleton, Ashland, Bayview, Beaver Dam, Delavan, Green Bay, Greenfield, Hayward, Janesville. Janesville, Hayward, Marionette, Mauston, Menasha High School, Milwaukee, Nina, Racine, River Falls, Shorewood, Wales, Washburn, West Dallas, Whitefish Bay, Whitewater. You know, I showed this to someone last night and they go, oh, yeah, I wonder if people will show up there. Listen, there's going to be people at every one of these. There's going to be hundreds. Like, say, in the Racine one, there might be like 2,000 people. So people go to Walkout Wisconsin, www.freeameri.ca, and find the location where you are, call to activism, go out there and live stream and ask these people questions. That's my story for today.
I like it, Bill. I like it, Bill. Well, I expect to see you on
Brianna,
the ground.
Cooking question. Can I give you a quick cookie question before I let you go?
Yes, let's hear it.
So I'm making a batch of chili right now, and it's a double batch, so it wants 4 cloves of garlic. Do you think I've used 8 cloves of garlic? Do you think I'll be fine?
Maybe 9 for good luck.
All right.
There's no such thing as too much garlic. Too Yesterday, garlic. I actually had Savannah Hernandez over for dinner. I'm kind of blowing it up, but we had dinner last night, and I made roasted rib roast yesterday, and I stuffed it with garlic. So there's no such thing as too much garlic when you're talking to me, Bill.
There's not. You know what? And I did meet your 9 threshold, because you know when you do the clove, you got those little mini garlic pieces that you don't even need to cut up, but there's still like a little mini one. I just put those in there too. So really, I think I'm at like 11.
I like it. That's like a good all amount. Right. Well, let us know. Make sure you post a picture. You know, I love to see food pics.
Oh, I will.
We appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye, Bill. Thank you as always. Folks, we're waiting for Jorge Ventura. He is on the ground right now in Minneapolis, and he'll be joining us for the latest breakdown in regards to what's going on there, what happened over the weekend. I know many of you guys saw there was a hotel, a Hilton-owned hotel, looks like, in St. Paul that was apparently slapping notes on the doors of federal agents telling them that you can't stay here because you're a federal agent. Well, he'll be joining us. He's been on the ground. He was reporting outside of there. And, you know, I'm just really excited because he's back to being an independent journalist, which is something I truly, truly love for my good friend, Jorge Ventura. All right, folks, we got our eyes on a couple of other things. I don't know if you saw the latest on the Epstein files, but it's interesting because, of course, still no dishes when it comes to who is on the Epstein list. Remember, they're supposed to tell us about all these things. There was actually a piece of legislation that was pushed through that they were supposed to give us more details on. Well, they haven't actually done that. They haven't done what they were supposed to do. And so now we're seeing movement as to those who want to hold them accountable. People like Congressman Thomas Massie and Ro Khan. Those are two, obviously, Democrat and Republican, who have been pushing and did bring forward legislation to hold the Trump administration to their commitment to release the files. Well, now they're pushing because it's been a lot of redactions, and it's quite strange, right? Because it's only supposed to be redactions pertaining to the actual victims. Well, they're looking for a federal judge to appoint a special master to oversee the process of those redactions and provide neutral oversight for all of this. The DOJ countered by asserting that there's about 500 personnel to review the files. again, this is what's ongoing right now. They are trying their best to create more transparency because there's a lot of redactions that weren't supposed to take place. And this was a big one. This was a big one. DOJ prosecutors argued that the efforts to compel further production of the other materials. By the way, they claim that the Southern District of New York just a few weeks ago gave them like a million documents last minute. That is absolutely insane. Well, will we see any more? I don't know. They keep saying that they are just allowed to put out whatever they want. Give us whatever they want. Redact whatever they want. But as many of you guys saw last week when we exposed Rand Paul's office for adding redactions to documents that wasn't supposed to happen in the first place, you saw how they aggressively love to redact everything that they just don't want you to see. It's called transparency, folks. It's called transparency. All right, folks, we're taking your calls. 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to want to call into. That's 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to want to call into. Chuck Schumer is saying that Democrats are going to reverse the DOGE cuts that were just recently made. Yes, folks, one of the most popular things your federal government has ever done, which is DOGE, they're looking to reverse what they've done thus far. The 14, Chuck Schumer says just that. Take a listen.
If you look at the budget actually we're working on right now, and we'll have the T-HUD budget, you know, transportation and HUD budget, we restore most of the cuts and even go higher than previous years on many of the programs that DOGE slashed. When I met our nominee for HUD secretary, then he was nominee, he talked a nice game, but he doesn't seem to have the clout to make those views prevail over the DOGE people, over the cut people. But we have worked really hard in the budget and gotten bipartisan support to increase these amounts and undo a lot of the cuts, which are essential.
Ah, essential, they say. Yeah, you got to go back to funding Sesame Street in Iraq. You have to go back to doing that. You have to go back to funding all their transgender nonsense. It's essential. It's essential. Probably essential for them because they're all getting their kickbacks. These people are disgusting. DOGE was the most popular thing our federal government has ever done. That's why it received the most pushback from all of these crooked politicians. So Democrats are looking to reinstate those funds. Yeah, let's see how that goes. They might actually get their way just because Republicans are spineless and they're absolutely useless on these issues. Their ability to fight back, to put up a fight at all, is virtually zero when it comes to the amount of effort they pour into it. So truly no surprise there. No surprise there at all. All right, when it comes to transparency, you know, the Trump administration is trying to create more transparency when it comes to those in the health industry. Insurance companies are going to have to start showing prices for their products that they're paying. This is a new push coming from the FDA director, Dr. Marty McCarry. He just announced this in clip 13. Take a listen to the details.
Well, this is an exciting healthcare plan. If you look at the Affordable Care Act, or what people call the Unaffordable Care Act, because it failed in its mission to lower healthcare costs, it created tens of thousands of new millionaires in healthcare that are not patient-facing, middlemen and administrators. And so what President Trump has said is that if we're going to be giving government money into the healthcare system, let's give it to Americans. Let's not just give it to the insurance companies. Their stock has gone up 1,700%. Since Obamacare. Let's have more price transparency. You know, when you go to the hospital and you ask for the price of something, American medicine has been giving people the runaround for 50 years. There's no prices until President Trump started in his first term to require hospitals to list prices. Well, they, in this plan, that's going to get expanded, and you're going to get prices for everything, and insurance companies are going to have to show the prices of their products and what they cover in plain English. It also calls to end secret kickbacks to those who sell the insurance company. Those kickbacks are giant, and you're not always getting an honest sort of portrayal of what's on the market because of these kickbacks. We as doctors are not allowed to accept kickbacks, and neither should healthcare's middlemen. And then final point is it really builds on the actions to lower drug prices for everyday Americans. What we call most favored nation status, a remarkable achievement that many said couldn't be done. President Trump got it done thanks to Dr. Oz. We at the FDA contributed in the ways that we can. We're cutting red tape. And you're going to see more drugs go to over-the-counter so you don't have to go to the ER and wait just to get a refill on a prescription.
Now, that's something we could all get behind. That would be very exciting, obviously. Here in the state of Texas, I was told that ivermectin was going to be available over-the-counter, and I have yet to find a pharmacy doing just that. If any of you guys find a pharmacy that's selling ivermectin over-the-counter, let me know. It should just be quick, no script involved, just here you go, here's your drugs, and that's that. We got Jorge Ventura joining us in the third hour of the show, so buckle up, folks. He will be with us straight from Minneapolis in just a little bit. I also wanted to get to this as well. Let's talk about Greenland, because this seems to be on everyone's mind right now. The EU is hosting an emergency meeting in response to President Trump's threats of tariffs in regards to all of that. The Trump administration putting out, obviously, that threat over the weekend that they are going to increase tariffs and potentially, you know, push back on all of this. The U.S. said it would start a 10% tariffs on imports from 8 European countries. And obviously they don't like that. It's Denmark, Norway, Sweden, France, Germany, UK, Netherlands, Finland. So we're finally getting aggressive on the issues. I like to see a little bit of aggression. Again, President Trump really pushing to have his way, which would be to sell Greenland to the United States. We're keeping our eye on that. Let's jump to callers, though. I know some of you are on hold. If you want to join the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Tim in California, I hear you want to talk about Eric Swalwell. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. Yes, you know, he's running, Eric Swalwell's running to replace Governor Gavin Newsom. So Saturday, he was at the Empowerment Congress California Government Forum in Los Angeles. But just a couple of quick quotes here. He said, I will direct law enforcement to use every power to prosecute ICE officers for battery, false imprisonment, and murder. And he also said there's only one side of the ball to be on behalf of Californians when it comes to ICE and its offense. And here's the one that got everyone's attention. He was answering a question on how the next governor of California will protect Californians from ICE. And his quote was, they're going to lose their immunity. They're not going to be able to drive. I will take your driver's license. Good luck walking to work, a-holes.
Yeah, Tim, I saw that. I don't think it's going to go over well, though, if they try pulling their driver's licenses. I don't think they have the authority to do that. I think that's a department of... I mean, I know it's run locally. I know they run them locally, but I think the federal government would possibly be the ones to step in on that. But I don't know.
It reminds me of like how Hillary, you know, she knew she was caught with her servers and all the Clinton Foundation tomfoolery and the earthquakes in Haiti and all the other stuff they fooled around with, but just act like none of it ever happened. I'm going to be the next president. And they even put her on the front cover of Time magazine, Madam President. So maybe this guy's the same. Maybe it doesn't matter that he was with Fang Fang. Maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, Tim, we're keeping our eye on that. But yeah, my guy, Tim in California, you've got your politicians out there. That I think are some of the worst in the country, but You're one of the best. So, Tim, thank you for calling. We appreciate it as always, folks. I noticed we had a little bit of phone issues, but if you were hung up on hold, or you want to call back in, 877-789-2539 is the number to call, 877-789-2539. We are taking your calls in the third hour of the show as well. Lynn in Chicago, I see you're on hold as well. Lynn, welcome to the show. Lynn, it's a little rough to hear you. All right. We'll get back to the calls in a little bit, of course. But folks, if you want to join the show, you know the number to call, 877-789-2539. We'll get back to callers in just a bit. I know there was a little technical issue there, a little hiccup. So we'll continue to get you guys on board once we get that rolling. Again, third hour of the show, going to kick off soon. We could talk about Putin invited to join Trump's Board of Peace. The Kremlin saying now the Board of Peace was created by President Donald Trump. And he saw the post that came out. He did this on Truth Social with a very limited amount of details being brought forward. We don't know who's added to the board as of yet. The Board of Peace was created by President Trump. It's to oversee the reconstruction of Gaza. One of the Kremlin spokesmen said that Moscow would study the details of the proposal. The Trump administration reportedly wanting nations to pay $1 billion to remain on the board. So it's, I guess it's a way to fundraise. As if that's something that's necessary. I feel like we've done enough with fundraising for all foreign countries, but President Trump looking to lead the way on the reconstruction efforts in Gaza. In Gaza, the board is seen as a vehicle for maintaining, obviously, the ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hamas and to oversee the reconstruction of Gaza. What we reported last week with BlackRock and other companies are jumping all on board for, of course. All getting their hands into that one. All right, folks, we have a lot more to discuss in just a bit. I see our callers are coming back on, so that's good to hear. But we got a lot more to discuss, like I mentioned. Jorge Ventura's on the ground in Minneapolis right now. I'm going to break down that latest report. It was a very violent week in Minneapolis. And it wasn't because of those right-wingers who attended. Of course not. It was because of the left-wing terrorists that constantly make their way to these protests. I mean, you heard from Wid Lyman saying that he's seen a lot of these faces before. These are familiar faces to Wid. And again, more violence pouring out because they don't like their opposition. If you dare walk into one of their quote-unquote protests with the American flag, they're coming for you. They're coming for you. You can't walk around with an American flag in Minneapolis anymore. Why? Because it's conquered territory. These Marxist pigs don't want you to have any ounce of patriotism. They, in fact, hate this country. I don't know what more you need to see to realize probably need to ramp things up a bit. All right, folks, in the third hour of the program, like I mentioned, we're taking your calls, 877-789-2539. I see you guys are lighting up back those callers, so that's good to see. The call list getting a little bit bigger. Of course, we had a little bit of a technical issue, so if you were on hold and you wanted to call back in, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. In the meantime, though, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. We've extended that sale for that free hat. It's a limited edition hat over at thealexjonesstore.com. We've extended it for an extra day, so you got about 16 more hours over at thealexjonesstore.com to get this hat. You get it with any purchase, no minimum required over at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a $30 value for free. Again, it ends tonight over at thealexjonesstore.com.
I reckon a lot of you know I've been on the air for a long time, and we've done quite a few things here, and I've had a lot of different ways that I tried to continue on our mission. So I want to tell you about a begging right here. This is a limited edition knife. We just came out with it a couple days ago. And well, some people call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade. But you need something to take care of yourself and your family and protect you. I think this will do it. It's an important remake. Updated World War II trench knife, double-edged stainless steel, razor sharp. Life is fiery with its beauty. It's got a nice little pin-up girl there right there on it. Mm-hmm. So I reckon this is just about as good as you're going to get as some fried taters and biscuits and mustard. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get one of these before they sell out with the murdered out brass knuckles skull crusher, mm-hmm. Then I reckon you better get on over to thealexjonesstore.com while the getting's good. And I appreciate you keeping us on the air in our mission. Mm-hmm. I call it a Kaiser blade. And it's a limited edition right now. Mm-hmm. limited edition, almost sold out. But all I know is the globalists shouldn't have done what they did to that boy, what Epstein did. So all I can say is they're going to have the Lord to deal with. But, I just know you want this knife. It's selling out quick. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the American Journal, third hour of the show. Getting ready to kick it off in just a few moments. We appreciate you guys being here today. We appreciate you jumping on. Jorge Ventura is going to be with us in about 3 minutes. He's in Minneapolis right now on the ground doing a lot of incredible work. You may have heard, obviously, there was a Hilton hotel getting called out for slapping notes on doors of federal agents saying you can't stay here anymore. But Jorge's on the ground there. He'll give us the latest report on that, plus the violence that was happening throughout the weekend, I guess you should say. But when it comes to violence, the left is the group of violence, folks. And you can't even go into churches anymore in Minneapolis without having to deal with these people. You see, in Minneapolis yesterday, they got very gutsy. They went into a church yesterday during service, and they weren't there to join in on the service. They were there to protest, because they deem that their First Amendment rights are superior to yours. And they only do this, of course, with Christians. They don't go into mosques and do this because they don't have the cojones to do that. They specifically target Christians. When we looked over at the DOJ yesterday to see if they had a response to all of this, the Civil Rights Division did. They said they're looking into it. And just moments ago, the DOJ senior advisor, Elena Haba, also came out and expressed what the DOJ is looking to do next. Take a listen.
Criminal penalties and violations. And what the attorney general is saying is the truth. She will come down hard. The Department of Justice will come down hard. Our Civil Rights Division will come down hard on anybody who tries to impede or intimidate somebody in a place of worship or a police officer or an ICE officer. It's just not going to happen in this administration.
And it shouldn't happen in this administration. We're hoping they're going to start ramping things up a little bit because it's enough. It's enough. We've seen enough. We've had enough. We're done with this. We're done with this. You see, they specifically only go to the churches to do this. And you saw Don Lemon. He was literally celebrating a child who, in his own words, was experiencing trauma from what they did over there. These people are evil. They're evil. They're demons. There's no other way to see it. They don't care for your rights. They don't care for the actual facts of the story. Rene Good's a hero, just like George Floyd. And I'm sure you're going to start seeing murals popping up all over the city for this woman, who decided to use her vehicle as a weapon. Again, folks, the agent that she hit with her vehicle was dealing with internal bleeding. But they don't care about him. Like I detailed for you over the weekend, there was another ICE agent who was also hit with the vehicle by an illegal alien. So here we are, sitting here and watching as these protesters pretend like they have an actual argument. All of this, they don't. They don't. The DOJ needs to get tougher. These NGO groups need to be targeted. When they're making these arrests, they need to track down who's paying the bail, who's posting. And then those groups need to be targeted next. We were told after Charlie Kirk was assassinated that these groups were going to be targeted. Again, they'll tell you, oh, it's an ongoing investigation. But we've already done the digging. We all know who's funding these groups. Independent journalists have been doing the digging into all of this for years now. The investigation shouldn't take this long. The arrest shouldn't take this long. And you could see that the president of the United States is getting very frustrated with all of this. In fact, he's tweeted, Truth Social posted about his frustrations on the AutoPen scandal, how there's been no arrests. And he's getting angry. You could see that he's dropping these little hint bombs. By the way, we broke that story that the Wall Street Journal posted about how the president's getting very frustrated that Pam Bondi's office hasn't made any major arrests. Well, have you heard the White House debunk that report? No. You know why? Probably because it's true. And he's planting the seed. He's trying to see, will this fire him up? Will they actually do something over the DOJ? Because we're not seeing any movement here. We're not seeing any movement here. And the president also posting over the weekend as well about how angry he is that Ilhan Omar still has not been arrested and how she is still living in this country when she should have been deported a long, long time ago. So President Trump obviously trying to maybe put a little bit of a fire under Pam Bondi's behind. We'll keep following it as it develops. But, of course, I know you're frustrated. I'm frustrated. No major arrests. And we're almost a year into this. We are officially in a year into this. So what's going on over the DOJ? We'll keep following it, of course. All right, more to discuss in a moment. We're going to Minnesota, so don't go anywhere.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night. To quote Waylon Jennings.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back. The American Journal. We're excited you're joining us in the third hour of the program. Getting ready to kick it off. Obviously, folks, if you saw what happened in Minneapolis over the weekend, you're like, hey, President Trump, let's start using the Insurrection Act, because that's exactly what's playing out in Minneapolis. We covered how Nick Sorter, our very own Nick Sorter, who hosts a show on this network every Sunday, had his camera stolen by a protester. Apparently the FBI is getting involved in that, but obviously that's deeply concerning. But it's not just that. You know, these federal agents are being discriminated against in Minnesota, and it's getting a little ridiculous. Obviously, we covered extensively what was going on with one of the Marriotts, and the Marriott completely disassociated themselves with the group. But if you look at what's going on right now with the Hilton, it's quite concerning. Bill Mnuchin actually posted this letter. I saw it first on his page in regards to multiple ICE agents who had booked rooms at the St. Paul downtown DoubleTree by Hilton. But then they received this note on their door. Apparently this note informs that their reservations are being canceled. The hotel will temporarily close. And that's due to the heightened public safety concerns. Now, on the ground in the area all weekend was my good friend Jorge Ventura. He's back on the independent side of things. So we love that he is back to reporting and doing what he does best, which is stepping face first into all the chaos. And so it's exciting to have him back on the show. Jorge, thank you for being here. I am excited to have you back on. Welcome back to independent journalism. This was a great one that you kicked things off with. You actually went outside the hotel and did some incredible reporting. What's going on over there?
Hey, Brandon. Yeah, it's great to see you. It's been a while for me. But yeah, back on boots on the ground. Obviously, Minneapolis is trending to be a national story. We got wind of the report about that Hilton kicking out the ICE and Border Patrol agents in St. Paul downtown. So me and Whit Lightman actually headed to the hotel. We tried to book a room. The hotel was actually closed. We were only allowed in the hotel because an employee went in. So we snuck in with the employee. We tried to book a room. We couldn't book a room, but we did get it confirmed that the hotel is closing because of safety concerns. So all the federal employees, including the ICE agents there for here in town for the deportation operation, they received a memo that they had to check out yesterday by noon. All the other hotel guests are allowed to finish the reservation. It's unclear when the hotel's going to open again. It did cite safety concerns, but, you know, obviously being here on the ground, many of the liberal protesters here in this city, the progressives, have been going around to these hotels nightly where they sometimes think where ICE is staying and trying to disrupt them. Many times they've actually been wrong. While we were on the ground yesterday, we saw several of the federal agents of the vehicles actually exiting the DoubleTree. And that's kind of really the energy here, Brianna. Anywhere you drive around the city, almost every business has no ICE agents, no Border Patrol agents could enter. Many of the immigrant restaurants all over the city are closed and say, like, knock on the door, get out ICE. So that's really the energy here in the city. Right now we're still waiting an official statement from the hotel on any new development. But, yeah, right now the tensions are still very high. Many of the activists are still impeding the operations, blowing the whistles. And yesterday we saw that kind of viral moment where one of the deportation officers stopped one of the vehicles and were saying, hey, we're trying to catch a child sex offender. This is who you're impeding. So the activists are still out very strong. Actually, later today, Brandon, in about a couple hours, another protest is set for outside of that Hilton. We got the flyer yesterday, and the headline of the flyer said, too nice to ICE. So they're going to be protesting at the Hilton and just trying to, in a way, deter agents from even staying in the city.
Yeah, and this is a big, big issue. Now, what is it like for these agents? Are there, is it easy for them to rebook at hotels nearby, or are they going to have an issue here?
It seems that right now they are going to have an issue. Several of these hotels are not taking any reservations. They're all now citing safety concerns. And once again, it's these activists literally just going to hotel. And many times they've actually been wrong. I mean, they'll literally just be like an SUV and they think a federal agent is there and they'll be, harassed. Like I said, when these guys are trying to conduct some of their operations, they've been impeded. Now actually, Brianna, they're actually, I got word from an insider late last night. They're actually conducting less operations because of the activists. So, any of those kind of high profile targets, illegal immigrants with serious criminal history, it's less likely that they'll be apprehended now just because you just keep having these activists follow them around here at the Whipple building, which is the federal building here in Minneapolis. Many of the activists just literally wait for those federal agents to exit the building and they'll just kind of track them along all day. They'll start blasting their addresses all over social media. I mean, literally just trying to stop the enforcement. So it's been really frustrating for agents. I know right now we're close to around 3,000 agents here on the ground. It's unclear how long this operation is going to continue, but it does seem that right now, like, the activist goal is to drive these folks out of the city. And it does help when, you know, they're essentially backed by the local police chief here who doesn't want them here. The local mayor doesn't want them here. You have the governor speaking out against them. So, really the agents only have the backing from the federal administration. You know, from all local levels, they're not going to get, you know, any help here from law enforcement. It seems like so far from my experience on the ground.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because we heard the mayor coming out and saying that there's not going to be any peace until ICE leaves. And obviously they're not leaving anytime soon. And so it's really concerning. But we keep hearing the DOJ putting out statements saying that we're going to go after these people and have them arrested. You were obviously on the ground at the protest yesterday. Did you see a lot of individuals getting arrested, the aggressors in all of this get arrested?
You know, we actually only seen like a couple people arrested. My first hour on the ground, there was a conservative counter protester there to be in support of ICE. Mm-hmm. And I have a video of it. He was brutally assaulted by several progressive protesters. I mean, and then one of the liberals actually grabbed this like flagpole and just beat this guy several blows to the head. I didn't see any local law enforcement come in and arrest him. And once again, like when these actions happen here in Minneapolis, those folks get even more emboldened. It doesn't even seem, I mean, just from my experience here on the ground so far, it doesn't even seem like they really fear federal agents. They don't fear the Trump administration. I know the FBI says they're investigating some of these instances, and it just seems like these folks literally do not care. So it doesn't seem like until the federal administration either comes in, makes some serious arrests, that this isn't going to really die down anytime soon. Like I said, there's going to be more protests today. They're still rallying all week. And like I said, in this video, several of the conservative protesters that I saw, they took several blows to the head. Like I said, they were brutally assaulted and I didn't see any arrests, here on the ground. And, you know, here so far, my experience, Brianna, is all these liberal protesters, this is majority, you know, liberal white protesters. You're not seeing, you know, like Somalis here protesting along with them, not really any minorities. It's really kind of that white liberal energy, white liberal moms kind of following these officers. And that's really the energy here in Minneapolis. But it doesn't seem like they fear or are deterred by the Trump administration.
Yeah, and that's the problem here, because we were told by the Trump administration that these NGOs are going to be targeted, and these NGOs are the ones that are going to go likely post the bond, the bail, or whatever it is that they do in regards to getting these guys released. And I think that's why they're so fearless, is their legal fees do get paid. And, you know, we spoke with Wid Lyman and just last week on Friday, and, you know, he's been on the ground with you guys as well, and he specifically outlined how a lot of these individuals are individuals he's seen previously. He's seen them several times before at other protests. Are these people you're seeing who are assaulting conservatives, are these people who live in the area, or these are people coming from outside, you know, states and being flown in?
You know, from my experience, normally the folks that used to be like causing this amount of violence are always from out of town. I've been in Portland and seen some of the familiar faces, kind of same thing as Whit. But normally these folks are out of town. They do travel to kind of all the kind of progressive protests throughout the country. It just seems like, you know, this year it's going to be kicking off here in Minneapolis. And even if you in that video, you just see how deep that guy's cut is in his head. I mean, it was a brutal assault. And once again, these folks are emboldened. Doesn't seem like it's going to slow down at least anytime soon. Yesterday we had the church incident. Several small businesses continue to be closed throughout the city. Even yesterday, actually, Brianna, the Attorney General from Minnesota, Keith Ellison, was actually on the ground for Renee Nicole Good. It seems like they want to target the ICE officers. And like I said, a lot of these folks, you know, like, they have their faces covered, identities hidden, and if they could brutally assault someone, they're likely going to do it again and again until something stops. At least that's been my experience when I covered, especially from progressive cities, even in like Portland. But I have to say, though, out of all the cities that I covered, even in Portland, I see more local law enforcement. You don't normally see that here in Minneapolis, any local law enforcement impeding at all. I mean, trying to at least apprehend any of these individuals. We started to see actually the sheriffs for the first time on Saturday come out in front of the federal building and kind of stop the clashes between the protesters and the agents there. We just haven't seen that in the streets. And, you know, I don't expect to see really any local law enforcement at this protest later today outside of the Hilton.
And, you know, the president's threatened to institute the Insurrection Act, and that's been a big one. And I saw, you know, Whit Lyman also posting video of the National Guard staging nearby. Do you think the reports say that they're going to be ready to go? That's 1,500 of them who have been brought into the area. But do you think this is something that's actually going to help right now, or do you think it's just a lost cause?
You know, that's a good question. So the thing is, you don't know the reaction from the crowd. Sometimes when, I mean, normally when you see kind of the National Guard step in, that's when you kind of see protests, cool down. It'll take kind of a major event to see it continue to spark. But I think once you see that National Guard presence, normally that's when you see the protests and everything start to die down. The interesting thing here is there's two things at play, right? Because you have Minnesota National Guard who are on standby, but that's from Governor Walz. And then on the other side of it is the Trump administration has now prepared 1,500 active troops from Alaska. So I think if maybe we see some events this week where things kind of get a bit hectic, where we see more violence. We saw some, I know Whit did some great reporting where these protesters were actually firing fireworks at federal agents. I believe if we see some of those instances again this week, we will see the Trump administration deploy that Alaska National Guard, those 1,500. I don't see any scenario where Tim Walz deploys his Minnesota National Guard. I think it's more for the media optics, just kind of having him standing around in Humvees. Because if Walz was interested, then he would at least have National Guard on the presence to at least stop the activists from impeding operations. So I don't think Minnesota National Guard will be deployed at all. I just think as of now, they'll be kind of used for media optics.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to watch your coverage on all of this because, independent journalists are really going out there and doing the one. Well, you guys are the ones in the front lines of all of this. You know, we saw Don, Lemon, yesterday just walk into a church at a protest. So he's aligning with the protesters. So he's not actually.
Interesting how he knew about them. Yeah, it's interesting that of all the, reporters here, like Don got tipped off. To be there. So, the activists really, really trust him. So I think that's very telling.
I think that, and even the, you know, the pastor and everyone kind of calling him out. I know he was claiming to just be a journalist. There was one individual who I believe is a member of the church who said, "You're not a journalist," and walked away after he was like just having a conversation for like 2 minutes. He realized that this guy was just a liberal hack. And I'm very excited that he did just that because Don Lemon is just, he's a jerk. There was no reason for him to do that. And, He's an absolute idiot.
What's funny, man, is like no one likes him. Even like progressives don't like him. So I don't, you know, one likes this guy.
Yeah. Well, Jorge, when you look at his numbers, and I guess we could talk about this too. When you look at his viewership numbers now that he's gone independent because CNN tossed him out, when you look at his numbers, he doesn't have good viewership numbers. He actually has significantly low viewership numbers considering the fact that it came from like a massive platform that gave him all the resources he need. And now he's really struggling to get by. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know what? He was always like just a propagandist. And if that's the thing is, it's like when you do these, the independent media role, mm-hmm. It's like folks can just read right through it. And even though he's independent, he's still like part of the establishment and he still works like a corporate media guy. So, Don, just get a flight back, you know, go home, get warm, man. You don't need to be out here, bro. It's negative seven out here.
Listen, not everyone is built the same. Obviously, you're ready for this. Julio Rojas is ready for this. Wade Lyman's ready for this. Don Lemon, not ready for this. Jorge, before we go, though, you just switched back over to the independent journalism world, so I wanted to give you a second to explain to our audience why you did just that and how they could go to support you.
Yeah, you know, the time came for me. It was coming around 3 years now in TV news and just really needed the freedom. I think my strength is in that kind of run and gun style. I think a lot of people who follow my work really loved what I did with the Daily Caller and the Riot Squad. So just happy to be back independent, just to be like an on the ground, you know, news journalist, storyteller. I like covering anything that the corporate media misses. So anything that they miss, any angles is normally, the stories I like to pay attention to. And right now is going to be an exciting time. For those watching, follow me on here on X. It'll be Ventura Report, for all the latest breaking news. But I just launched my YouTube channel, and that'll be Ventura, Reports, all in one, Ventura Reports. That's my X. So if you guys want the breaking news live, check that out. But yeah, super excited. Brianna, and I got a good feeling that, you know, we'll have a lot of good stories this year on the ground. Big news.
Well, I look forward to it. I mean, you were one of the very few in the front of all of this when BLM riots were getting a little crazy. And that's how you built your audience up. And so I know the rest of us are excited to see you on the ground there in Minnesota as well. So we will definitely keep our eyes on your Twitter page. Again, folks, it's at Ventura Report. Give him a follow on X and over at his YouTube page as well. Jorge, it's good to see you back. We look forward to getting you back on in just a few. So thank you. And stay safe.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're taking your calls and this portion of the hour. Let's kick things off with Jerry in Indiana. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Just fine. Hey, I've been listening to you about Minneapolis, stuff like that. And it seems to me like ground zero where things are going to kick off. That's what it seems to me, because I see all these anti-ICE protesters coming in churches now, violently assaulting police officers, everything else. It's ground zero for the next major uprising by the left. That's how I see it right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, Jerry, I think you gotta get a little tougher on these guys. I mean, like, we just had Jorge Ventura on. That's why I asked him about the arrest, if he's seeing any arrests on the ground. I mean, you see someone literally bashing a conservative over the head with a pole. And, obviously we saw how deep that wound was. I mean, this poor guy. I mean, this is unacceptable. And where are the feds?
I see it right here is we've been too tolerant for too many years, past 10 years.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but we might have to go a little more, I guess, say carefully, a little more extreme. I'm not promoting violence.
Yeah.
We have to be kind of ready to defend ourselves because we're getting too tolerant with these people. They're getting emboldened right now.
Yeah.
Very much. You have even Democrat political leaders encourage violence on us now.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's how I see it right there. I mean, we guys just have to be ready what's coming.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer we can sit here and tell people to remain peaceful when you're watching someone get hit in the back of the head who's simply trying to walk away with a pole. I mean, all these people need to be added. There needs to be a public list of the people who are a part of these groups, by the way, too, so that future employers know what they've done with their time, know what they've done with their downtime, that they've gone out there and did acts like this. I mean, they're literally following him. It's obviously a taunting thing, and he's trying to get out. I mean, he's not arguing back with them. He's just trying to get to safety. And they just won't let him get to that point. Jerry, I hear you want to talk about Greenland, too. I'll let you talk about that.
Well, about Greenland is, I think there's a lot of reasons why Trump wants to take Greenland. He's got a really ambitious take Greenland, because I think there's a lot more in Greenland what they're telling us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dark rabbit hole I can go into. I don't know where you want to, but yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons why Trump wants Greenland. And if he's going to take it, let's just take it. Let's expand the U.S. territory the first time over 200 years. This is how I see it right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jerry's sold on taking Greenland. We'll keep watching it. Obviously, the president's very serious about it. This isn't an empty threat anymore. Purchasing Greenland, that is. That's where he's trying to go with this. So we'll see how it all plays out. But he's getting very aggressive, obviously, even with the tariffs. So we'll keep our eye on that. Jerry, thank you for joining the show. Let's turn to Duke in Oklahoma City. Duke, welcome to the show.
Well, I called in here about Oklahoma, about Broken Arrow and their care trying to buy up the land to create a super mosque. But, mm-hmm. Texas was hit the hardest as fact. For the mosques that are being built in Texas, but that's affecting Oklahoma too. Oklahoma is a very soft spot. We're being overtaken, and it's just like not too many people are really focusing on what's happening, and it's a lot worse than we think that it is. We've got a mayor who's trying to get rid of Mayor David Holt in Oklahoma City, who's trying to get rid of a historic party's right to choose the GOP candidates for the primaries. You know, it's just everything's happening. It's happening fast, and it's like we can't ever get our foot in the door because something else happens, and we just get thrown from one thing to another. So, you know, Amy Mack brought up Broken Arrow and the property. Now, CARE is actually suing Broken Arrow to try, even though the council voted against it. They voted for it at first when the citizens spoke up against it. But now CARE is actually suing Broken Arrow to try to reverse that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny how Americans, Oklahomans, Texans, how we don't really have a say. It's like they have as much right as we do being in our country, and they're not even from our country. They are not native to the country. So we're in trouble. I mean, this is dangerous. And, you know, we see what's going on in Minnesota. We see how things are starting to get violent. And it seems to me like this is going to spread, and they're going to use this against us somehow, some way.
Yeah. Did you call into the show a couple of months ago and you were the first one to talk about this? Because
I was on X, but they've suspended my X account. I was talking back and forth. Me and Joe Biggs and everybody got suspended. So I'm not back on X anymore. So that's why I'm calling in, because basically my social media account has been suspended permanently. No reason given. But yeah, I've called in several times.
Yeah, because we covered the when they got their I think it was like when the hearing, when they got all their plans to build up that Islamic center nuked. We covered that. I remember I was like, wait a minute, hold on. Someone called into the show and put this on our alert. So we appreciate you calling in again. Yeah, no, I think it's a massive threat. And Amy Mack's really the only one doing the exposing. I know a lot of people are echoing the reports that are coming out from Amy Mack, but I want to remind everyone that a lot of the things you're seeing play out now, and we're thankful that other people are picking up the reports that she's doing and carrying on her message, but she's the only one out there actually, Loomer's doing a good job too with it too, but she's actually doing the digging. She's actually going through the content that they're putting out on their own platforms, these Muslims who have come into our country, and she's showing you what they're putting out amongst each other so that you see what's going on here. Because a lot of the times they, again, want to instill fear into your hearts and tell you that, oh no, this isn't happening, or you're Islamophobic if you post this. But, you know, Amy Mack's out there, and she's not stopping anytime soon. So if you're not following her, I don't know why, but make sure you give her a follow on X. She's great. She also runs the RAIR Foundation, which is RAIR Foundation, doing a great job over there. Constant reports. Oklahoma City is another one. Texas, obviously, where I live. I mean, there's over 40 that have gone over, that have come up these mosques in the last 2 years. Just in our area alone, there's over 60 now. And this is the problem, right? Because it starts off small and then they just keep popping up everywhere. And sadly, we allow them to use the First Amendment against us, and they're weaponizing against us. And that's what's exactly happening. And it's not just here too. It's also in Florida. I see Florida people are all on X like, oh, that's crazy. That will never happen here. But the reality of it is they build these compounds and they very rarely leave these compounds. So you're not probably seeing it up front, but you should be looking. Everyone should stop what they're doing now and see what's gone up in your neighborhoods over these last few years. And I can promise you it's probably near you. It is spreading to red states. And Duke, thank you for calling into the show. It's spreading throughout red states. Why? Because of low regulation, and they don't like the liberal agenda. They like our conservative agenda. But folks, these are people that once they become the majority will go after us. That's not fear-mongering. That's the damn truth. Just look at how it happens in other countries. All right, folks, we're going to be taking your calls throughout the hour. So stay put on hold. We'll get to that in just a few moments. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula and you like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after The Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. I guess I forgot to tell you, happy Martin Luther King Day for those of you who are celebrating. I don't know anyone who is. If you're a federal employee, they apparently have off today, which is, come on, stop being lazy. Stop being lazy. Get to work. We work over here 24/7, so I don't know why we allow federal employees to take off. Course, or taking your calls in this portion of the segment. So let's get to the calls again. Michael in Virginia, welcome to the show.
Yes. Hello.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Wonderful. I want to explain. I thank you for taking my call first, Brianna. Have a good day too.
First, I'd like to say this. I was in the Navy, and I traveled on a ship one day. And I was on the bridge of the ship, which is where we're doing lookout. And two objects came on the port and starboard side of the vessel, and they crossed in front of the bow, which is the front of the ship. We were told never to say anything about that, and nothing was said. So with that said, I want to say that I believe strongly believe in America, we've always been under the influence of otherworldly entities when it comes to George Washington having his meeting in the woods, Benjamin Franklin, his recordings about things that he's seen. I believe it was Thomas Jefferson making recordings, as well as Abraham Lincoln. Now, we know now Congress has been informed. We've seen the videos now that our government has released. I believe that these people, we have massive ships with colonies of these individuals that walk, they say, that look just like us. Some of these entities look just like us. They've always been here for thousands and thousands of years. They have an agenda. They're warlike, which is why we have wars and crimes. What does this have to do with the immigrants? This is their plan. One of the plans, they plan ahead. Davos, the World Economic Forum, these are where the United Nations, this is where they all got these entities who look like us gather together, and they have their meetings on how they're going to run the world. Now, America, we have Donald Trump. Surprisingly, we have Biden, who brings in all of these immigrants who are in the plan. This is an agenda they have, one of the agendas. We have two sides. We have the good side. We have the bad side. We have opposites. And the good side says we have to give the humans these rights. And the bad side says, okay, give them their rights, but we're still going to have this agenda. We want to control things and have our wars. And, okay. So they don't tell us what they want us to know is the truth. You know, we're afraid of the truth. The agenda of bringing all these people in is one thing. They want to create disruption and chaos, just like it did with January 6th, just like it did with the COVID vaccine, just like it did with 911. How come none of these people are locked up? How come? You know why? Because it's their agenda. How come no one, you know, it's their, and then they look like us. They sacrifice their lives. Trump is one side. I believe that Trump is part of that agenda, and he knows it. Biden was part of that agenda, and he knows his plan was to bring all these people in, to create this chaos. Trump's plan was to create the free us up from that chaos, the deception, the left hand knowing what the right hand is doing, so to speak. And what he's doing now is creating chaos on the other hand with the immigration. I'm saying, listen, I'm not saying it's right that these people are here illegally. That's their plan to bring them in. Trump's plan is to get them out, but to create this chaos from what's going on by these marches and the violence. This is their plan to keep things going. But he's doing it. He's doing it because he does represent humanity. On one side, he represents the good side. But they will never tell us that the truth of everything. Because once we know the truth of everything, they'll tell us, like, for example, the lecturer says, okay, I'm teaching you about cow manure. I'm teaching you about cow manure. And, okay, after the lecture, the student comes up and says, the agricultural lecture, the student comes up and says, oh, I agree with you, professor, that the best cow manure is aged cow manure. But please tell me, how old must the cow be? You know, these kinds of people are very strange. The truth can be, you can be surrounded by truth and never know it because we've been brainwashed to accept an agenda. Religion is not spirituality. Look at the crimes that the Hindus have done. Look at the crimes that the Muslims have done. Look at the crimes that Christians have done. Look at the crimes that all these Jewish people have done. Look at the crimes that all these religion people have done throughout the ages. And spirituality is what we're missing. The truth that is right in front of our eyes. But what I'm saying to you is this. Please, we must accept that these people, they're here. The truth is coming out slowly. And as long as we're on the river and we don't see we're on the ocean and we're stranded in the ocean of all this mess, and we don't see that we're actually on the river with fresh water that goes out just a little bit further and we don't drink it and we die because we're surrounded by it and we don't even realize it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep our eye on it, Michael. And I know we'll have more reporting on it. Do you think though, Michael, because he said that, you know, the chaos that's going on right now, do you think that this is Trump planned? Like kind of, I was kind of confused on that. Who do you think is creating the chaos? That's obviously those on the left, but did you think, were you trying to say that the president was somehow involved?
Yes, yes. See, there are things we don't know that we're not looking at. We don't see it. It's right under our feet. But we're brainwashed to defend ideas that are not our own. We will give our lives to an idea that's not our own. But who's running all of this? It's not the common everyday person, but yet some of those entities look like us and are part of the common everyday. It could be your governor. It could be your mayors. It could be the entertainment people. They won't tell you that right out, not right now. They are saying, again, Congress knows Trump being shot. I've said this 1,000 times. That was a plan. He wasn't the target. January 6th. Him being removed, it was the plan. He knew he was coming back to further their agenda. The plan was, you know, the gentleman that got shot behind Trump, he was just a distraction. The bullet on the ear, he goes into the hospital, then he comes out and things, all this stuff, he gets elected. That's the plan. They have secrets. We are humans. We don't know everything, but slowly is coming out. But there are those who, Trump is a good, he represents the good side, so to speak.
Yeah.
He represents the good side, so to speak. But they are all, it's like NATO, Davos, the United Nations, yeah. All of these groups, these are entities.
Yeah. Michael, no, I think I agree with you partially on that, for sure. We'll continue to follow up. Michael, thank you for calling. I want to get to Aaron next. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. I just think a lot of the times the messaging we're really getting we're really losing it compared to what they're doing to us.
Okay, elaborate a little bit on that.
Well, they've been doing this for quite a while. I actually work for a school district in kind of the outer suburbs, mm-hmm. and it's actually even infiltrated out here. You know, with DEI, critical theory, and a lot of things, and just. The messaging, you know, like Minnesotans inherently want to do the right thing. I am calling from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of part of some of our makeup here. But and they're being brainwashed into believing that, you know, what they're doing out in the streets right now is the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, even though they're acting basically like the people they say they're trying to defeat. You know, they're acting like little brown shirts and black shirts out in the streets, you know, and they're, you know, denying other people their rights while they say they're fighting for others. And I wish Trump would get back or even the administration would get in better, do their messaging better to kind of quell this. And they're not. They're just kind of I understand what they're doing, but, you know, they need to do it better.
Yeah, no, I think it's...
Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. It does make sense. And I think they're playing softball. I mean, these are terrorists. And again, like, we keep having these independent journalists on. It's the only reason why I love having them on is because they're, well, there's many reasons, but they do an incredible job at kind of cracking at this. And they do follow all these protests around the country. And they're like, these are the same characters over and over and over again. So, you know, it's very obvious what's happening here. The Trump administration claims they know what's happening here, but we're not seeing much in the way of action. We're hearing threats. We're not seeing in the way of much of a follow-up. And I think it's deeply concerning and, you know, something that's got us all fired up. So yeah, Aaron, I'm with you on that. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it, of course. Let's get to Jesse in California. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. You're doing an excellent job.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just wanted to let people know there's a good video on BitChute came out in 1966 titled Communism. And it shows you where we're at in this stage of the game, how late we are in it, because there's criminal elements that are embedded in the quote-unquote protesters in Minneapolis. And it's how they do it. It gives the illusion of revolution. once the criminals make the first move amongst all the people. And I think that's what partly that you're seeing out there. So I encourage people to look at that video.
Perfect. Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Yeah. No, it's definitely something worth following and worth looking into. So, Jesse, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Helen. Helen, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was born in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed, and I don't listen to a lot of, not had television, but what I've noticed is a really dangerous trend in referring to people as black people, brown people, white people. That's a de-evolution of culture. You know, that, what is the definition of a white person? To me, it seems to most often be applied to Christian white people. When I hear people referring to themselves, I'm a brown person, I'm a black person. You know, people are souls, people are spirits. These blanket terms are shocking, and it erases the judgment of a person based on character. You know, Chinese people are white. Jewish people are white. I mean, who isn't white? I mean, a vast majority of the people on the planet are white. There's probably more non-white people, I suppose, statistically. But the first time I heard this term brown person was with Hillary Clinton and Obama. That term didn't exist. And I think that that is a media mind manipulation and a warping to put people in camps, you know, not, you know, mental camps where they're, you know, they scramble to find an identity on where they fit in society rather than being good. They have to be part of a phenotype. I mean, that's like saying everybody with brown eyes is good. And then people are fighting which color is good, which color is bad. It's very, very destructive. People shouldn't be referring. And it also plays along with the idea that if you're only your phenotype, why not be a furry? Why not slip into transgender? It has nothing to do with your being. It strips people of, you know, their God soul.
Yeah, well, I want to step in on this because I'm okay with us breaking up everything into race, given the crime stats and whatnot. Like, I'm okay with that because there are differences. Genetically, we're different from others, and there's obviously a crime factor in all of this. You know, when you look at the white statistics, when it comes to crime, they are significantly low compared to minority groups. And I think it's really unfortunate because we've seen that those, especially on the left, are looking to push for us not to collect those crime stats because those crime stats would reveal the truth. And the truth is that minority groups, for the most part, specifically black Americans in this country, do commit a very alarming amount of crime. And so I'm okay with us breaking things up into groups. But when it comes to the divisiveness that you've alluded to as well, those, you know, Barack Obama and others have pushed over the years. Yeah, it was intentional. They were intentionally trying to create that division. So, Helen, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your time. Let's turn to David in Pennsylvania. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna.
Hi, David.
Hi. How you doing? I'm just alarmed that President Trump hasn't called the Insurrection Act. I think he's...
Hey, David, we're having some issues with your phone right now. It's kind of chirping in our ear right now. So, because we have a radio only audience who's only hearing audio, I want to make sure that they get a good quality sound. So we might have to have you call back. If you do though and get rid of that, we'll take you right back to air. Let's turn to Royce in Texas. Royce, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. How's my phone working?
Sounds good, Royce. Good morning.
Good morning. So, actually, you know what? I want to address Helen real quick. Hey, lady, I can't explain it to you. Well, actually, I can explain it to you, but I can't help you understand it. Jews aren't white. And it, basically, if you are of European white ancestry, and as long as your, you know, family members didn't race mix, then you're white. It's kind of hard for Jews to be white when they think, oh, saying it's okay to be white means that, that's anti-Semitism. So, good luck with that, lady. Now, to my point. I got my points here, but it's just really hard for me to keep it all straight. So I'm going to try and do my best here for you, Brianna.
Yeah.
Don Lemon, this guy, he knew what was about to go down, and he was cool with it, and he went along with it. So this is my call to action for the Trump administration and his DOJ. Every single one of those people that went into that church for the explicit reason to disrupt a place of worship needs to be indicted and arrested today. Don Lemon especially, because that is sacrilege. And you are absolutely right. They would never do that to a mosque, because they know that that would be probably enough to set someone off and get them to put on their suicide vest and detonate it. And we all know that's true.
Yeah.
You mentioned that Trump is planting seeds for the DOJ, talking about firing Pam Bondi. He's had plenty of excuses to do so, and he still refuses to do it. Mm-hmm. Listen, Trump is not a gardener. He doesn't need to be planting seeds. What he should be doing is planting axes, because this entire time for the last decade, he's been propping himself up as some kind of a warrior for the American people. I'm sorry, Brianna. I voted for the man three times. I don't see it. The GOP has basically only done one thing, just one thing, that would get me to vote for them, and that is to secure the border. But you know what? It doesn't really matter when we're still dealing with infinite invaders from 150-plus countries from around the world. You know, by this time, in Biden's first term, there were over 1,500 arrests by his DOJ of J6ers. We've had zero arrests for, oh, my God. You know what? You put a good little picture a few days ago. You know, Epstein files, J6, COVID. I mean, why isn't Fauci at least in jail? That guy, I mean, I'll just boil it down to that guy clearly has broken so many laws. Let me ask you this real quick. Do you think Charlie Kirk would be satisfied with how the Trump administration that he fought to get elected, do you think that he would be satisfied with the way that they performed up to this point? Because if the answer is no, Charlie Kirk died in vain.
Yeah.
There have been calls.
It's sad. I know. I said that before. I mean, the day after his funeral, doors should have been ripped off the hinges. They had all of the support of the American people after watching him get executed publicly by a left-wing terrorist. That's the person that they've alleged is the one who was behind his killing, his assassination. So, yeah, Royce, I would say no. I think it's an absolute disgrace. And also keep given the fact, too, that we were told that these NGO groups were going to also be targeted after Charlie's death. I keep saying death, but it's an assassination. I want to make sure I'm not trying to downplay that. We were told that they were going to go after them, but Roy, sadly, I haven't seen anything of substance. Besides, we're supposed to expect to just hang around and wait for the criminal trial of the person who's been arrested for his assassination. It's been a massive disappointment, and it's heartbreaking to see for sure. I'll let you finish it off though, Royce.
Brianna, the GOP, it just needs to die as a whole. All right. The entire party has been feckless. It's been spineless. They refuse to use the levers of power that we gave them when we voted and gave them the White House, the Senate, and the Congress. But they refuse to act because the GOP has basically just acted as a minor inconvenience for the opposition that hates America and Americans, especially white American Christians. So for the last decade, at least, that I can remember, there have been endless calls for intifada in the U.S. I'm going to go ahead and I'm declaring it right now. This is just me. I don't represent anybody. It's time for an American crusade, because tolerance is only the virtue of weak Christians, and we have become such a weak nation. We have allowed an invasion, and it has gone largely unanswered to the point where we have white Christians walking down the road, and they can't even do that in peace. One last point, and I'm going to let you get to the next person. The Black Panthers. I'm sure you've seen some of these pictures coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wood shot it, actually. Wood Lyman, he shot the image of one of, I don't even know if it's a blank Black Panther. I probably shouldn't say that, but there was an individual who was strapped up with a rifle in his hand over the weekend.
Yeah, I know exactly which one you're talking about, but no, there are people that are claiming to be Black Panthers, the chairman, whatever his name is. I can't even remember. It's not worth remembering. But listen, when I was coming up, I was basically sold the lie of American exceptionalism. The idea of America that I was raised on hasn't existed in probably at least a half a century. So when I was growing up, I was always told, you know, be a good Christian, you know, racism bad. And it still doesn't taste very good coming out of my mouth, but I understand now. I understand the reason why the KKK existed, because every single flavor of skin color is allowed to promote their flavor of supremacy without any sort of consequence. But if you're white and if you promote the idea of white exceptionalism or the supremacy of your own race, then somehow that is bad. And it is complete and utter hypocrisy that I have lived under my entire life, and I'm sick of it.
Well, Royce, I want to jump in here because I only got a couple of seconds left. I know when you kick things off, we're talking about Christians, white Christians who are constantly being targeted and nothing really happens there. You know, I want to remind people, and we're hoping to get someone on tomorrow to talk about this, because one of my friends was wrapped up into the FACE Act being weaponized and being used against pro-lifers. One of those individuals was my girl Bev, who was wrapped up and targeted. She's black, but she's a Christian as well, obviously. And she's someone who's an absolute patriot, and they actually threw her in prison for protesting peacefully outside of an abortion clinic. The FACE Act could be utilized in a situation like what we saw unravel yesterday in Minneapolis if the DOJ got a set of cojones and actually went after these people. But this would be a fair way to use the FACE Act. Again, the Biden administration weaponized the FACE Act against pro-lifers for no reason. And this would be a legitimate reason. I mean, this is the reason why it was written. FACE Act is obviously, for those of you not familiar with it, is a U.S. federal law, which makes it illegal to use force, threats, or any type of physical obstruction to prevent people from going in their place of worship. And so that would be something that you guys could use over at the DOJ, of course, to go after them. I know Mike Davis is doing an incredible job at making that argument, but I want to keep driving that point home. If the DOJ is serious, the FACE Act is what could be utilized to go after these people who prevented Sunday service yesterday at that church that we saw unravel. And I would love to see it, folks. Thanks for everyone who called into the show today. I greatly appreciate you guys staying on hold. We appreciate your opinions being heard, of course. That's why we take those calls for everyone else to sound off. The Alex Jones Show starts next.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.